All right, so should I do it? Let's do it.
That's
welcome
what she
to
said.
Yeah, that is what she said. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 16. I'm Jeremy, or Valiant 418, and I play Rhett in Legion.
Hi.
I'm Andy and Major Tusk. I play Trollbuds.
What?
Wow.
Worst intro ever, guys.
He's looking, he's got text messages from GameStop.
I see that.
I had a message.
Well, Mike. I looked over and there was something about his Colonial Marines order being ready, and that depressed me because I thought you were a decent
BioShock
human being.
Infinite.
No, the one above that. What was the text above that about your Colonial Marines order?
I walked in and I'm like, I canceled my pre-order. And they're like, yeah, we know. So I pre-ordered Last of Us instead.
Man, that game was disappointment.
So that's me. Who are you?
That's you.
That's you. Someone bought something terrible.
We started the intro, and it occurred to me that I have not a goddamn thing planned for this episode.
We already talked about what we were going to do.
Okay.
No?
No, that's true. We'll just go with it.
Who are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Nathan.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
How you going?
Pretty good.
How are you going? Who's that?
How you going?
I can't even say hi to people.
How are you going?
Wow.
How are you going?
Thanks for listening.
We're sorry. We'll never do this again.
Be gay to Eden.
We keep saying we're sorry. We'll never do it again.
But we don't.
We are sorry.
We are sorry. That much is true.
Yeah, but are we really?
I'm not really.
I'm a little sorry. I'm a little embarrassed to be associated with this.
So I think we need a real intro. Katie, why don't you tell us what happened to your pants today?
Well, I had pants on, and then I went over to Jordan's house, and I got stuff on them. So I went home and changed before I came here. That's the story.
I hope your mic picked up any of that, because you're nowhere near your mic.
She's busy fiddling with the strings on her pajamas.
Yeah, she didn't bring her phone games this week, so instead she's just going to fiddle with her pajama pants all episodes.
All the people to fiddle with her pajama pants, that's probably the one that should be doing it.
I agree. In public, at least.
To be fair, I didn't actually spill anything on my pants. I just spilled stuff on my shirt.
Other people spilled things on your pants?
You spilled stuff on your shirt, so you had to take your pants off?
Oh, I changed my shirt, too.
That's a party.
That's a neat trick.
Oh, my shirt's dirty. I better take all of my clothing off.
I mean, I'm okay with it as long as we're at home.
That's how my husband trained me.
Like you do what he said.
Of course I would do what he said, Brian.
Last week we verified that taking Jeremy's advice is always a bad idea, even if you're Jeremy.
Even if you're Jeremy.
Or Jeremy's opponent, especially.
Well, when Pat took my own advice about what to play against me, he had to know it was a bad idea.
Hey, make sure to take that Control 10 thing against all my drags. It should work out really good for you when all your stuff frenzies around back towards you.
Well, no, to be fair, some of his stuff I knocked down and it frenzied while on its back. It's worked out pretty well
for
me.
Does he have TK? No.
Ron has TK.
Yeah, he was TKing some stuff around and backwards that was hot, and then he was dragging
other
stuff
down and
knocking it
down. Yeah, you
drag it
out and then turn it around so it frenzies back into his...
Yeah.
Except I'd already knocked it down, so it didn't matter that I turned it around. I turned it around just because I could.
Is the knockdown optional on their crit?
No, if you crit, you knock down.
Oh, okay.
The pull push is optional, the knockdown is not.
Well, and even if it wasn't optional, you could just pick zero as your distance.
For the push-pull?
Mm-hmm.
No, because you roll a dice. It's D3.
It's D3. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, no, oh, boy, if you could choose.
Oh, man, if you could pick distances.
That made no sense. Yeah. You'd probably just pick three.
Or there are times when I'd always pick one, too.
That's also true.
Yeah. That was exciting.
Hey, that was on topic.
Ish.
No, that was on...
That was an introduction.
That was on Katie's pants.
Yeah.
A lot of things were
on
Katie's
pants. That was
the
world's worst introduction. Let's do email. Yes?
Isn't it news and, you know, tweets,
do we have news?
Emails? And
do we have news?
I have an announcement,
all right,
actually.
Announce it. Do it.
Today, Gearbox announced that Borderlands 2 level and cap is going up to level 61 on April 2nd. A new character is being released on April 2nd. A psycho named, what's it named? Like, I forget his name already. Zed.
You get to play as a psycho?
It's kind of like Brick. It'll be a melee flip out. Yeah. Except instead of punching things, he's going to have like a buzzsaw he whips out.
That's kind
of
cool.
And then the end of June, level is going to 61. They're adding a third playthrough. And at the end of June, the next DLC is coming out.
Well, the third playthrough is good because then your level 50s who have
can still
finished,
get good,
yeah,
get
like,
level 61
like,
stuff.
Right. I'm not screwed out of a level 61 rose.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
The level 61 thing in general is kind of a bummer, though, because some of us have killed like millions and millions of things getting a couple of oranges, and now all those oranges are
shit. I
have
15 legendary oranges at least at level 50.
They're all pretty crap now.
I wish they had psychically came up with the same idea that I had without me ever telling them, because it was a brilliant idea, which was enacting the ability to use Seraph Crystals to upgrade the levels of your items.
Ooh, they're also adding.
Well, because you know, and it wouldn't
weapons.
Be broken because it would still be tied.
They're doing another rarity.
Super broken. What's it? It's
pearlescent. The pearlescence from the first one. In the first one, yeah, they bring back pearlescence.
Oh, that's cool.
But like the thing is, like if you get an whatever random orange, if you get a Liuda at level 30.
Yeah.
That's no different than grinding for it at level 61. Only difference then, you know, you save it, you get to level 61, and then you can just spend all these Seraph Crystals.
To make it amazing.
To make it the same level that it would be if you just sold it and then farmed for a new one.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a cool idea, but they won't do that.
Well, they didn't.
Obviously. I doubt they'll ever do that.
Gearbox, if you're listening, you should roll out that, because it's a great
Gearbox
idea.
Listens to our podcast.
You never know.
I suppose I don't.
Is there air out there? You don't know.
The producer for Archer plays War Machine, right? You never know.
Does he really?
He's painting one of my Vanguards.
He was a War Machine weekend.
Really?
Yeah, and there's that punter from Minnesota that plays War
that
Machine,
one I've heard. That one I've
That's
heard.
That's cool. But, yeah. I mean, people play the game.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's a good game.
I mean, yeah.
I saw on our forum we have a new guy moving into Madison to place.
That's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming from, like, Arizona or something.
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas, thank
Which
you.
Is apparently a lot like Madison. It's a college town, about the same size.
Cool.
Very liberal in the middle of a fairly Republican state and whatnot.
So
also,
similar.
That'll be handy because if you've got family down in Texas, he can come with me down to get the Mayhem Cup back. Me and him, two-man team.
You're going to double dip with your ex-wife?
Yeah, sure. Hey, random guy from Austin, you can crash my ex-wife's place when you go to get the Mayhem Cup back.
I might come along, but if we're staying here, I may get a hotel.
She's nice.
So
I she bought, come, that's she, his fear.
She had Mr. Pibb.
I may come along.
Okay.
And I'll stay. I might stay.
So what's the difference between Mr. Pibb and Dr. Pepper? Pop quiz.
Mr. Pibb's delicious. Dr. Pepper's tastes okay.
Well, what's the actual difference?
Is that Dr. Pibb?
It's not Dr. Pibb. It's like a cherry-ish versus that plum flavor that that Dr. Pepper has.
Just so everyone's aware.
Yeah.
Also, Pibb Extra, which, like, Mr. Pibb technically no longer exists. It's Pibb Extra because they changed the formula, and now they added a little bit of a cinnamon to it. But you can't taste the cinnamon. It's just, like, there's a little kick to it.
Hmm. What about Dr. Pepper Cherry Dr. Pepper? That's delicious.
It's pretty good. It's not as good as Cherry Vanilla Mr. Pibb.
Ew.
No, do not you.
I do not like vanilla in my sodas.
I like
Cherry Vanilla Mr. Pibb is goddamn amazing.
I'm actually with Katie on this one. I'd rather just have a regular Dr. Pepper than a vanilla one.
No, that's true, but the Coke Freestyle machines, if you go to one of the Coke Freestyle machines that has Pibb instead of Dr. Pepper, you go in there and you try some of the Cherry Vanilla Mr. Pibb, and it's delicious. It's the nectar of the gods.
I would try it, but I've recently given up soda, so
but this isn't soda, it's
when I'm off the bandwagon.
Nectar of the gods.
As well.
This could kick you off the bandwagon. It's not the bandwagon, it's the wagon.
The wagon?
Yeah, the bandwagon is popular things. The wagon is when you're quitting
when
something.
When you're quitting something because you can't give it up.
And the turnip truck is when you're gullible.
Yes, and you are also that, so that works out.
I'm so confused.
Turnip
way,
truck? What
I'll
are you talking
off the
about?
Wagon.
Turtles?
Turtle truck?
Wow. No, that's the turtle van.
Right.
Yeah.
The party wagon.
Yeah, the party, sure. Man, the first time you play the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games for the NES, you get run over by that first steamroller instantly. Like, who expects an instant death on the world map 2 seconds into a game?
Oh, my God.
Old games used to do that to you, though. Like, these days, games are like, here, I'm going to, like, shadowbox with you a little bit until you figure out what you're doing. Old games were just like, all right, kid, brace yourself.
Well, not only that, but, like, remember instruction manuals? Remember, like, actually looking at a play? Because, like, you plug in, Super Mario Brothers, it doesn't say, press the A button to jump to kill this Goomba and, like, freeze the game and tell
you
just
died to that Goomba,
it.
Like, three times trying to figure out how to get your timing.
The game you are smart enough to read a 6-page instruction manual.
Here's a pipe. Maybe press jump.
Oh, man. The Turtles game.
There's only, like, 4 control buttons to begin with, so it wasn't that hard to figure out.
You're, like, not on mic at all, FYI.
And you're also interrupting me.
Well,
that we're okay with.
Yeah, I played the Turtles game on a black and white TV, and when you got to the world map, it was utter confusion in black and white.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was like, what is this puzzle, and what am I doing? And then we got into a color TV, you're like, oh, we're driving around the turtle van.
So who knew?
That game was goddamn impossible.
I love the
idea. Yeah, that game was hard.
When you have the save files where you had to write down like 28 strings,
super long,
and you couldn't tell what anything
wrong.
Is that a
and zero versus O?
Right,
there's so many
or
other
I
ones.
And L.
Yeah, oh, capital I versus lowercase L. Yeah, God damn it.
Yeah. You write down what you think it is, and you write down 14 variants per level. So you're like, well, when I go back to this, I'll see what happens.
Yeah
and then you end up in like level 2 with no lives.
The one that did that to me was Faxanadu. I played the fuck out of Faxanadu, and that had like a 70-letter long save thing.
I just remember Echo doing that.
Yep.
The dolphin.
Some of them had saves though, like Final Fantasy. I'm sure you saved
them. Yeah. Some of them did. It depends because you know the hard they had to have a there's an actual battery in the Final Fantasy cartridge so that you can save. Which is why if you buy those old games, you can't actually save anymore. Like if you buy a original copy of The Legend of Zelda, it'll like let you make your name and everything, and then when you turn it off and turn it back on, the data's just gone
because the battery's dead.
Well, the problem with that too was like half the time, even if it had a battery in it, like you'd go to load up your saved game and it'd be like, I lost your saved game. Would you like to start fresh on this 40-hour game?
That's why the king specifically told you in Dragon Warrior to hold reset when pressing the power button. That's to prevent a power surge erasing your data.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old but trick there.
It is, but still, it was so annoying back in the day. Like, you'd like get out like your thing, and you'd just be like whamming it on the side of the table, hoping your save game comes back.
I never did that.
No, I did. I definitely did.
Why would that work?
Sometimes it works, Yeah, like seriously.
Whenever you're in doubt, you hit something and it works.
I mean, that was the NES code, though. Yeah. To get a game to even start up in your machine, you had to push it in and out four times in a row, take it out, blow in the machine, push it in and out three more times and start.
The big trick that always worked for me was having it like a 16th of an inch out, so when you pushed it down, it just barely like scraped on the front edge of the chamber it went down into. That slight retreat always worked for me.
Blowing and hitting it works for many things. Games, you know.
We'll have to ask Jordan from earlier today.
Yeah, Jordan knows all about that, apparently.
Plus 30 seconds.
Well, I remember my friends and I would get into arguments on whether when you blow into the NES thing, if you're supposed to like blow and spit a little bit, or if the spit was bad.
The spit's horrible. It corrodes all the end.
But it was like, no, it was like some people claimed that you'd actually, like it would load up better if you got a little bit of spit in there. Because it would clean off the contact.
No.
I shit you not.
Are these the same people that you learn to smash your NES?
No, I taught myself how to smash the NES.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was a side effect. Like, motherfucker, works! Oh, hey, it works now.
Hey, it did. It did.
No, but you didn't just spit in there.
Blow and spit in there.
Rubbing alcohol and Q-tips. I would just take all my Nintendo games and just go through them all.
And yet we put up with all of that shit. Kids these days, man, they got it too easy.
Yes.
Too easy.
Well, when you die, you just start in the same place that you died at. There's no like...
Yeah, back then it was like you died. Guess what? You were 20 hours into the game, but fuck you, you're starting over.
I'll say this, though. If you want some difficulty in games, there are some games out there that'll have a lot of difficulty. Just play some Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy is good because it's old school style, but I still have never managed to beat the original Ninja Gaiden for the NES.
I've
tried that game hundreds of
times.
I don't even think we beat Tyson's Punch-Out because you'd get up to him. Yeah, I mean, it was like 3 hours of memorizing sequences to get up to him, and then he'd just freaking pound
one
you.
Pound. Yeah,
my cousin, I was at like a family reunion, and I saw my cousin beat Mike Tyson in that game.
Really?
And like, and that's the thing is, like, even now I'm like, oh my god, Matt, you just went up so high in my reckoning as a human being. You're a god.
You have leveled yourself.
Yeah, you literally, if you let him clip you, you were out. If you blocked it, you were out in two. So you just literally had to dodge it.
The first round was nothing but dodging him.
Yeah.
Game is amazing.
I played a lot of Wizards and Warriors, and that game sucked ass, too.
That's the one with the armor suits?
No, that's Ghosts and Goblins, and that game can go fuck itself. Do you remember past level one?
I remember, so much.
It's just ridiculous.
There was one, level three, I think, was the lava level, and there's one jump you have to go up to get the red key that can go fuck itself.
That whole game could just go fuck itself.
Well, I still remember Ninja Gaiden as being one of the worst, like... This game hates me and wants me to just kill myself every time I try to play.
Those birds.
That's where my hatred of birds came
from. Yeah. Castlevania Ninja Gaiden taught you that birds and bats are the goddamn devil.
Ooh, one of my favorite tricks from Resident Evil 4 is if you see a bunch of birds on a fountain, just take your shotgun out and shoot. Just blow them all up. They'll drop you more than those shotgun shells worth.
Yeah.
So
always shoot the birds wherever you are.
But I've mentioned this before. I know, at least you, Jeremy, because somebody beats... Morrowind in like 6 minutes on it, but on Speed Demos Archive, a guy who beats Ninja Gaiden the first one without ever dying, and he cheats those birds, like he'll use them to his advantage, because like there'll be ladders that you have to go around the whole like screen the long way, and if you jump the right time, the bird will hit you and you'll fly backwards and grab the ladder and stuff. Nice. So it was very frustrating to see somebody who's able to use the bane of my existence to their benefit.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
I just downloaded that game onto my 3DS.
Ninja Gaiden?
Yep.
And then you threw your 3DS away?
Yeah.
Have you thrown your 3DS against the wall yet?
Well,
I haven't. It's
if
like,
the save ever doesn't load, just smash your 3DS against the table.
That'll work.
Or blow into it.
Just spit on it. Spit right into there.
Oh, my goodness. I remember I always used to, like, the games that had the saves, you'd, like, leave it in the machine, and if anyone touched the machine, you were just angry at them forever, because you don't know that the save would have worked if they hadn't touched it, but it might have, and now it's definitely not going to.
Yeah.
How about when you rented a game and you had saves on it, and your parents made you take it back?
Oh.
And then a week later, you desperately tried to get it back?
And you couldn't.
Nope, somebody already was over it.
Yeah. I rented a game for the PlayStation, Blood Omen, Legacy of Cain.
Yep.
And I played, I like marathoned overnight through that game, like 30 hours of gameplay, like over the weekend. And I begged my mom to pick up a memory card because I just got the PlayStation. You know, you need a memory card. You couldn't save games on there anymore. You had to have the separate thing. So I begged her to get one. And she's like, oh, they were out of them at the store. I couldn't get them. So I had to start that game over again when I got it for myself.
Geez.
Turns out she had bought one and thought, this will make a great birthday present for him in a month.
Oh.
Like, she didn't realize that it was a very time sensitive issue. Oh, I needed this memory card.
That's terrible.
Oh, well.
I didn't care for that game that much.
The first one is, like, kind of unplayable, because going into your menu to switch weapons takes 17 hours. But the series is super good if you play the whole series. The
like
Soul Reaver game specifically.
That game's version of puzzle is pushing blocks around.
Yeah.
I was pushing blocks.
The first Soul Reaver especially. They got rid of that a lot in the second and third one, because people complained.
It was a fun game until the blocks.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm out.
Too many
blocks. Actually, I even loaded it up recently, and it still kind of stands up. The voice acting and the
voice acting, especially as Tony Jay as a character,
it's really good still. I except for the blocks,
fucking blocks.
Yeah, it's
goddamn blocks.
So blocks and birds.
Well, that was our announcement. Apparently,
yeah,
it was a trip down memory lane with Nintendo.
Well, and topical, because Annie was just showing me a trailer. They're re-releasing the original NES game DuckTales with updated graphics.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to play the shit out of
that. The quotes were great. Like, they had a quote at the beginning from Doug Tenapel, the guy who did The Neverhood and Earthworm Jim and whatnot. And they had a quote from the guy who does Gears of War. But then the third quote was from, I forget his name, but the guy, Tim Schafer.
Yep.
And he said, stop emailing me asking for quotes.
I remember that.
That was a great trailer.
That was the quote they got from him.
Yep. Great trailer.
Yeah, and I think that's the way that they should redo games from now on, is keep the same gameplay, just update the graphics.
I wish they'd do that with Bionic Commando.
Bionic Commando Rearmed 1 and 2 is pretty damn good.
You can jump, though. Fucking jump.
Fucking jump in Bionic Commando 2.
Bump. Bullshit. Jump.
Well, you can actually beat the game without jumping, too.
Yeah,
and there's an achievement for it. And if you do go through it, you could disable it.
There shouldn't be an achievement for something that you shouldn't have.
Yeah. That's like having an achievement for beating Doom without putting the invincibility code on.
Hey, you haven't even played Bionic Commando 2.
Because it has a jump button.
Yeah.
And that offends me as a Bionic Commando fan.
You haven't downloaded it.
Because it has a jump button.
No.
I'm offended by the very existence of the jump button in Bionic Commando Rearmed 2.
The sad part is that might be true.
It is
the whole point,
the
whole cool thing, like in Bionic Commando, the original one for Nintendo, is every other platform game, you got A to jump and B to attack.
Yeah.
That's how it always works. In Bionic Commando, A, instead of jumping, was a grappling hook. And the whole game was about grappling around, and it was really cool, these things you could do without the ability to jump.
That jump button, it's literally like a...
One block up.
Yeah, it's not a jump.
It's
not like a jump in a jumping game where you jump like 40 feet in the air.
Yeah, it's there to make the stairs more convenient.
You jump four times your height.
Right. Yeah, it's not one of those.
Yeah.
It is actually an amazing game. Both of them are amazing.
It is hilarious. Sometimes the game will remind you that you're playing a Bionic Commando game, not a normal game, because like there'll be a lava pit with like these horrifically difficult like jumps to make or whatever, like things, and you're like, oh wait, I can just swing across the whole goddamn thing on the ceiling.
Whee!
Right. And you just skip whole screens, and the game's like, there you go, that's the reminder what game you're playing.
You can thank us later for not having to jump through that horrible shit.
Right. The 3D one wasn't too bad.
The
3D Bionic Commando, a lot of people hated on it. It wasn't bad.
It was okay.
Good music.
Amazing music. Very good.
Bionic Commando theme's amazing. Right, Katie?
I played Sega Genesis when I was a kid.
Yeah, Sega Genesis.
I have literally never owned a Sega system.
I had the full like Transformer constructal bot.
The Genesis CD? With the 3DS and the CD, not 3DS,
nice.
The 32X.
Yep. Yeah. I might not actually have the 32X, I just like to tell it that way. But the CD actually had some really cool games on it. Lunar Silver Star, they remade for the PlayStation, and the remake was like... Half the game was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, the graphics didn't look as good. The gameplay wasn't as good. Nothing was as good. The story was worse. Everything was worse than the Sega CD version. It was amazing.
I had a 32X for, like, a week. I ended up trying to complete my whole video game collection, so I bought a 32X off of eBay, and that was a mistake. It was horrendous.
Yeah, I don't think that had much going for it. The Sega CD did have some good games. Yeah, there was some good strategy games that had some good role-playing games. So for like our style of person, it was awesome. Like fair most enough. Of us like strategy and role-playing.
We do. That's true.
So
what?
So did anybody play anything War Machine like in the last week?
Yeah, I played. I killed Nathan twice in one game.
You did kill me twice in one game. That's
Cromack will do that to you.
Like and the first time was just me just being an idiot and being 12 and three quarters inches away from him when it's 13. I just
what it was is I
moved up to get a beast who charged Cromack into my control area.
It was like a little dinky beast.
Well, that's the thing.
Too.
It was a light. It was a razor boar because I was trying out Midas. And so I'm like, I'll get the razor boar into my control area, which means my control area is 12. The razor boar is an inch. That's 13 inches. But since I can get. If I had the razor boar barely in my control and had the half-inch melee range, then I'd be safe because I'd be 13 and a half. I didn't bother with that because I forgot. So then she jumped and killed me. So then I put her back where she was and says, let's pretend I'm not an idiot because we're both trying stuff out.
Right.
And we'll learn more. You know, I'll do that a lot regardless of who wins, like a practice game.
Yeah,
like, well,
no, I've done that
duh. And then I actually... Second time I did something really smart and I like killed some stuff and I was going to win the game and I lumped all my stuff around Midas so she had nowhere to land and I forgot to run one guy over so I left a perfect Cromack sized spot directly next to my caster.
Oops.
Well, what is funny is you ran the guy, like I reminded you of what he did and then you're like, yep, I know, but I have a plan.
I did have a plan. I just got to enact it.
You took the guy who's supposed to run in the back arc and you just ran him into the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. There actually was a different plan that I screwed up plan A because plan A was genius because I was charging her stalker. And I was going to kill it and steal its animus to put on myself and then sprint away.
P.S. That never ever works because you have to have something else to kill because of the way sprint triggers.
Right. So, but I knew that
okay.
because you don't have to kill a living model. You just have to kill something.
I thought it had to be an enemy, though.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Her stalker was right next to a stone. So
oh,
I was going to charge, kill the stalker, steal the animus, murder the stone, and run the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah, yeah.
And I charged directly to the stalker and didn't have the stone in my melee range.
Oops.
Because Midas doesn't have reach.
Ooh.
And I charged the wrong direction. Like, I just did, I'm like, yeah, charge the stalker, start kill. Fuck.
Oops.
Okay, plan B, kill the stalker, run a lot of stuff around me. And then I forgot plan B also.
Also.
Complex.
But Midas was doing pretty damn well.
Yeah, nice.
Now you got to try him against War Machine.
Yeah.
He's less good.
No?
Less
you
good.
Don't know that.
Less good.
You, I, it, well, I know that he's less good.
I
know
that
half of his abilities require hordes to be worth a damn. So, I mean, he could still be perfectly fine, but definitely less good.
No. That'd
be like
playing,
like Mosar can play against War Machine,
oh, yeah.
but he sure doesn't have a feat against
no,
a lot of armies.
Hey, I feated three times against you.
Yeah, I let
one
you.
Game.
Yeah, no, again in one game. She played Mosar against my mercs, and she's like, no forcing, no reaving, no channeling, fuck you. And she did it. I let her do it like three or four turns in a row.
It's like P. Madrick's feat just last whole game.
Yeah. Yep. The whole game I was not allowed to reave or force or channel.
And yeah. I got the feat when it was on his turn if I had forgotten, too.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
What?
She's
Jim,
doodling pictures of trees.
I see that.
Jim stole my microphone, and this one isn't like bright in my face, and so...
Those are her boobs, not her
face. You
want
to switch?
It fell off the table.
No, it's fine.
You sound fine, though.
Oh, okay.
So she drew a lovely squirrel under an apple tree, and there's flowers. That's wonderful.
Well done.
That sun's way too close. Like, that squirrel would be burst into flames at this point. Like, this is some hellish apocalypse.
Wow.
Is this like in Chronicles of Riddick?
Yeah.
I don't remember that movie.
Yeah.
We just watched it the other day. Here.
I'm sorry.
It was on. Oh, no, it was
TV.
When we were waiting for you to get
yeah,
back
we
here.
Yeah.
It was kind of, I was playing, I've been playing the fuck out of StarCraft this weekend.
Because it's amazing.
And
there's two-thirds of the game is out now.
And the one level is like you have to race the sun, kind of. The planet's on fire, so you have to constantly move your base across the map. So I'm like, it's like just like Riddick.
Is that a Terran one?
So I hope so.
Yeah.
If it was a Protoss mission, you're like, oh,
oops. Well, you're fighting
my wife for
ire. You're fighting the Protoss, so they're dying horribly as you're moving your base across the map.
The Night Elves, they can uprate their base and walk them, right?
That's true.
Could have been Night Elves.
Could have been. Probably the wrong game, but could have been.
You don't know.
I don't
sure.
know. For sure.
They might have. We don't know what the third part of StarCraft II is going to be. It could be Night Elves.
Could be Night Elves instead of Protoss.
It's going to be Night Elves.
I'd be so sad. Like, I love the Protoss. They are by far my favorite race. I'm so pissed they're the third expansion because, like, Zerg just... I'm not interested in the Zerg. Like, Terran I enjoy. They're not Protoss, but I enjoy the Terran. Zerg, I just don't care. Like, if it were any expansion except the Zerg right now, I would already own it and have played through the campaign.
I am more excited to play the Zerg.
I know you are, but the Zerg, I am
they're
not...
They're the good guys.
They're not.
Well, the Protoss are a little bit gay, so...
How are the Zergs not the good guys?
Not that there's anything wrong with that,
a little bit,
but...
question mark.
The Terrans are infighting against each other. They even, you know, use the Zerg as weaponry against one another. So the Terrans are the bad guys. The Protoss are a bunch of racist assholes.
The bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Jeremy likes them so much.
Yeah.
The Zerg are just trying to survive,
The Zerg have no evil motivations whatsoever.
What culture do I play in War Machine? A bunch of xenophobic, human-hating elves. Description of the Protoss would be...
Right. A bunch of xenophobic. Legion isn't xenophobic.
Well, I picked up Legion more recently.
Because they have Ogryn and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're more like the Zerg.
Yeah, so what's
your shit and use it against you?
The Zerg are the heroes of the StarCraft world.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that.
What do they do that's evil?
Kill lots of people? Corrupt Kerrigan?
Well, that's like saying humans are evil because they kill lots of cows. Like, yeah. I mean, they're different races.
Yeah. It's
but
not
we're people, sentient.
People and Zerg... Cows are sentient.
My point is cows are not.
They're sentient. They're not...
They're sentient.
They're not that smart doesn't mean they're not conscious of what's going on.
Pigs are super smart. You ever eat bacon?
Yes.
What you're saying is that if I killed Katie, it'd be okay because she's not that smart.
Only according to Lewis.
Right.
Also, corrupting Kerrigan, I mean, what's the definition? First of all, spoilers. Second of all...
From the very first StarCraft. Yeah.
Second of all,
15-year-old spoiler.
Yeah.
Those of you who didn't play the first StarCraft, I apologize.
In the one movie with Bruce Willis, he's a ghost the whole time.
Oh, son of a
Die Hard.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
You don't find out until the latest Die Hard movie.
And Die Hard 2.
And Die Hard 2, yeah.
They allude to it strongly in Die Hard 2.
Right.
Funny story about that is I actually did not watch that movie at all. I never watched The Sixth Sense, and I did have it spoiled to me by 51st States.
Yeah, you know what? It had reached its expiration date as a spoiler by that point.
Which is why why I was mentioning it. Yeah. If they don't know, like, I don't know whatever StarCraft spoiler you just gave, and I don't care. Yeah. It's too late for me to care.
The entire plot of the first game may or may not depend on a plot point third of the way in.
Nathan bitched a lot about hearing Star Trek spoilers, and then the one spoiler he heard he was super excited about.
I wasn't super excited about it at all.
He was unhappy.
I mean, I'm unhappy that I know it, especially since, like, it could be a surprise. I know what actor plays the villain now. For all I know, for the first hour of the film, you're not supposed to know he's the villain.
Pretty sure in most Star Trek movies, it's fairly obvious who the villain is.
My favorite
There's
is
been
when
one
they show the
J.J.
end of the
Abrams
movie.
Star Trek movie so far, so that's not enough for a pass.
That's true, Abrams.
But I'm just saying, like, it could be a twist. It could be, and now I don't get that twist. Like, aww. I wasn't going to see the movie anyway because... No, but Jack the Giant Killer, Slayer, whatever they ended up as the title, in the trailer they show the king's like right-hand man talking to the giants about how they're all going to conquer the world together. It's like, well, I guess I know he's evil. Like, obviously it's a dumb enough film that you knew that in the first place. Anyway, he might as well be twirling his mustache, but God damn it, really? Like, put that shit in your trailers?
A lot of trailers will show the ending scene.
Fast and the Furious 6 one we just watched.
Yeah,
they showed
some ending
scenes.
What's definitely the
end of a climactic final scene.
Yep.
So that whole sequence, it's going to be like, well, I know how they get out of this one.
Yep.
Luckily, those movies are retardedly fun, so it shouldn't matter. That one doesn't look as good, though, I gotta say.
Well, the end of 5 was pretty amazing, so it's
End of 5, the sequence was amazing. It didn't matter. Any one clip from that sequence wouldn't have made it that sequence.
We'll see. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that, though, next month.
I'll go and see it, but I'll probably have my normal reaction to movies. Hey, we're talking about movies. We should...
We can. All I know is I'm watching Katie doodle stuff on this pad, and it's reminding me, I started a game of Draw Something with her, and I drew a goddamn stick figure, and then she drew back some wonderful picture, and then I drew another stick figure. So it's kind of disheartening playing Draw Something.
That's okay. You drew a really, really good Babe Ruth, like really fat batter with a baseball bat, very clearly.
Who was pointing. He was calling his home run, even.
And Katie's in there, and she's like, this is stupid. Get it. So she used the bomb, blew up like almost all the letters that weren't in the word.
And then she
tries again, and she just can't figure it out. She's trying like random letter combinations. And I walk up, and I didn't even have to look at the letters, but it was clear from the letters. I was like, Babe Ruth?
Yeah. Well, and at the end, it was just a big fat ball player. At first, I drew a fat ball player pointing, and then I had a I cut the screen in half. On the second half, I tried to draw a candy bar. That didn't work out too well, no. So I just erased the whole thing and drew a morbidly obese baseball player.
You did draw a morbidly obese baseball player.
Did your candy bar look like a turd?
It didn't even look like
no,
a turd.
I
it looked like nothing. I
bar.
Instantly erased yeah. it. I drew like an oval with a line because that's where half the wrapper was ending, and I was like, no, that sucks. Erase, erase, erase. Morbidly obese guy with a baseball bat.
I think you should have tried drawing Sloth.
Yes.
From Goonies.
Ruth?
Well, he didn't even have, like, a New York Yankees logo.
It's a morbidly obese baseball player. There's literally one of those.
It could have been a Red Sox logo, first,
well,
I'd like to point out.
Okay.
Secondly, there's no way Nathan has the ability to draw either of those logos.
Well, the New York Yankees one is an N and a Y.
Right.
I stand by
beyond your skill.
The other thing is, don't when you drew him really fat like that, like, I couldn't get umpire out of my mind.
Yeah. She's like, I keep thinking umpire. It's like, what about that? He's holding a baseball bat. What about that makes you think
that
umpire?
Was the confusing piece.
I could have drawn a child with cancer. That might have helped. It's hard to add cancer to a stick figure, though.
It is difficult.
Put a tear in the eye.
Yeah. Wow.
It's hard to add cancer to a stick figure.
Oh. That's why they're already skinny. It's either cancer.
There you go.
Either.
Jeez.
This stick figure has leukemia. You just can't tell.
Wow.
That's okay.
Wow.
The picture of the yeah.
Well, they're already all bald. Like.
No, I always put hair on my stick figures.
Oh, well, there you go. See, if I ever see a bald stick figure from you, I know that it has cancer. This will be our shorthand going forward and draw something.
Okay.
If you ever need cancer-riddled person, you just draw them bald and I'll get it instantly.
Perfect.
Oh. So one time I was playing Taboo at a family gathering with and my wife and I were playing, and we sure did cheat the fuck out of that game because internet memes are not... They, you know, when they came out with that game, they didn't expect that thing. Like, a word was ninja, and she's like... monkeys. And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, cheese sandwich. I'm like, oh, ninjas. I'm like, of course. Because, you know, monkey cheese sandwich, you know you're going to get ninja out of that if you're an internet weirdo.
If you're an internet weirdo.
And so, like, the family's just like, we're never playing this game again with you people.
Well, in general, playing that game.
And then they got upset about you guys cheating?
Yes, that also.
All right, that's what I thought.
In general, playing that game with, like, a couple or, like, two people that have known each other since, like, high school or something is just stupid. Because you can literally just, like, say, like, any two random words. And they're like, oh, that's clearly what you mean. Like, it's dumb. Like,
that's why Mary and I are so good at euchre together.
That's because you cheat. There's a difference.
We do not cheat.
What do you call it?
You use like Morse code and stuff to signal things. If you're signaling
we
non-verbally,
we are just really in tune.
Bullshit.
With
you're signaling non-verbally,
they
aren't
cheat,
you?
Like, whoa. Yeah,
no,
they cheat.
We do not cheat. You have never played euchre with us. We do not cheat.
Like,
we're just fantastic.
Go alone.
There is no fantastic at euchre anyway. That game is at least 75% luck.
I would disagree. I've played a lot of euchre, and I think
I've played a lot of euchre too, and it's pretty much a formula. Is the skill? The skill is formulaic, which means the only thing that should matter is luck.
The skill is knowing the odds.
Yes,
so
that and being able to count a minimal amount of cards.
Right,
like you do need to be able to count a minimal amount of cards.
No, you need to be able to recognize when the right Bauer has been played.
Right.
I would say there are times when you need to be able to count two trump, maybe.
Right.
Okay, so like I said, that game 75. Is 75% luck.
Yeah. Well, and that's 25% skill still.
Fun. There's nothing wrong with it being a fun game. I'm
like
just saying that, like, oh, we're really in tune with each other, to me means we're pretty lucky.
There's a lot of strategy in Yahtzee, you know, and that game's 75% luck.
I would argue Yahtzee's more than 75% luck, but I see your point.
No, come on, man. You roll a bad roll, just take it as a zero on your ones. You only need one extra three to make up for that and get that top bonus.
It's true.
That's strategy, man. It's there.
Stab you in the face right now.
Welcome to our euchre podcast.
Andy says like that we need to do something worthwhile with our podcast.
No, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. I'm just saying we're 40 minutes in.
There's no way. All right, we need to cut.
You know what's going
to
be great, though? Is I guarantee someone's going to post, you guys were really on topic this time. Thanks a lot.
Well, bring up some email. We have
Bizarro World.
We have a backlog of emails.
Yeah, we have a ton. And some Twitters, too.
Oh, by the way, Olympus Has Fallen isn't a very good movie.
That would be my review of it.
Yeah, that was fine.
I hate every movie.
It was super brutal.
Yeah, I liked it because it was violent, and well, I also thought it would be PG-13. So
it was
PG-13. So I was mildly impressed. I was like, wow, this is a very violent PG-13 movie, and they're saying fuck a lot.
I don't like really dark action movies because I can't ever see what's going on.
Physically dark, like. I'm super paranoid about that now ever since I read an article like 15 years ago or so talk about a lot of theaters dim the bulb on the projectors because they think it saves the life of the bulb, and those bulbs cost like $1,000.
God, I hope that wasn't the case.
Every time I see a dark movie now, I'm super paranoid that that's why. And it's also especially annoying because according to the article, it extends the life of the bulb by like 30 seconds if you do it for like the decade long normal life of the bulb.
So it's like a.
So it's completely not worth doing, like, and all it does is ruin movies. Yeah.
Right. Whereas you're probably losing business because people are like, oh, all their movies are. Don't look
at
right.
I can't see anything. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the old Ultra screen that was there before the giant remodel, I remember seeing a movie like about 10 years ago that there was a. Seemed like there was like a burn spot in the center of the film. And for every movie that we went there for like the next 5-6 years, always was there.
I don't know if you noticed during this one, but the subtitles, you could see them about halfway up the screen again, super, super dim, barely there. I don't know if you noticed those.
Yeah, during the
anytime there were subtitles, you could see the subtitles again halfway up the screen. Just you'd have to squint to see them, but they were definitely there.
Interesting. Yeah.
It sounds like you guys just had a poor movie experience. Like,
I think everybody else was fine with it. I just don't like many movies, and that one was – to me, I'd rather – instead of seeing an okay movie for the first time, I'd rather see a great movie again.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
As far as movie-going experiences at that Ultra screen, I went and saw Iron Man in that exact theater, and their screen, like, it looked like those old films with, like, the random lines and stuff on it. So I went out to complain, and apparently they had, like, called in the head manager whose day off it was specifically because it was such a big deal, and they were getting lots of complaints. And it turned out that something gone wrong with the projector, and it was shredding the film literally a half an inch before it went in front of the screen. Like, they had perfectly brand-new film getting ruined as it went through the machine. So she's like, yeah, we know we're going to give everybody a free pass, you know, with no limits to what see whatever, you know, and the movie's still watchable. It just looks kind of shitty. So I stayed. I watched the film. I sit through the credits because I always sit through the credits for movies. I didn't for this one because sometimes with a group of the movie's pretty shitty, I'm like, nah, whatever. I'm not going to stay to watch The End of Olympus Has Fallen. But in general, I sit through the credits.
Yeah,
it's just a thing I do. Not even to wait for a final scene. The way I liken it to it is if you finish a meal, you don't just immediately bolt out of the theater as you're chewing your last mouthful. Or not theater, your restaurant. You know, you digest a little. But whatever. The point is, I sat through it. We watched the final scene because it turns out these Marvel movies all have final scenes.
Yep.
And then as I'm leaving, there's some like mousy little like 15-year-old. I guarantee it was her first day and her first job ever. And the job they gave her was to hand out these slips to people who are going to be furious and screaming and complaining. Like she's just she looks so sad. And I'm like, oh man, how many people have yelled at you? And she's like, none. Not a single person has even talked to me. They all just left. And I'm like, wow. Well, you know, that's nice. At least whatever. And she's like, well, they gave me like 30 passes. You want them? Okay.
Done.
So for like the next 2 years, I saw every movie at that Marcus Theater for free. It was amazing.
Well, it doesn't make sense. It was a young girl there. So, of course, you want to talk
to her.
Hey, young girl, you look about the right age. When you're 14?
15's a little old for him.
Yeah, no, he was pushing it. But yeah. it was a dark theater.
It was dark theater.
I mean, that's perfect.
18's an expiration date for some people in this podcast. Specifically, Nathan.
Really only one person.
Use my own line against me. All I know
it's
is that
divided by 2 minus 7, right, Nate?
Yep.
All I know is that Indiana Jones and the Shitty Skull is a lot better movie when you don't pay for it.
It's Indiana Jones and the Crystal Meth.
Yeah.
For those of you wondering at home to look it up on
Rotten
Tomatoes.
You need to be
at
Crystal Meth to re-stucker yourself into a wall every day.
Hey, speaking of movies, Brian came up with a new verdict on those little teasers at the end of credits. I want him to tell it to the world so they can enjoy it.
Well, I don't have the energy to really go into it. I forget the exact words I used. Basically, fuck them.
those were the words he used.
If a movie, I don't longer give up. I will watch to the end of a movie. I don't mind seeing for the credits, but if they're going to hide some little snippet at the end of it, like a little Easter egg, I don't give a flying fuck about it anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
If it's part of the credits, like the movie ends and then like the credits are rolling while it's doing, like, you know, some of the comedies do like the outtakes or they do.
Right. Or a Jackie Chan movie, they'll show him breaking his femur.
Or it goes to black and then it immediately comes back. Like the Avengers of the Thanos, it went black for just a second, then it came back and had the little special thing. That's okay to me. But then
it also had the shawarma at the end.
But so many movies do that. I'm like, if it goes to the end of the credits, fuck them. I'm only going to watch what's in the movie, and if
they're
going to be not worth my time.
Yeah, if they wanted that 30 seconds to have any impact, they'd put it in the actual movie, not somewhere buried in the credits.
Except,
I agree.
Except for Ferris Bueller, because that one, it has to be at the end of the credits to make sense.
Boy, I don't remember the movies from 2 decades
ago. At the end of the credits to Ferris Bueller, he comes out and says, "Why are you still here? Go home."
And that's basically summarizing Brian's opinion of putting things at the end of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So good job, Matthew Broderick.
Also
whatever.
Matthew Broderick.
Rarely something somebody says. Good job,
Matthew
Broderick.
Well, he did make a terrible life decision to be married.
Well, you know, some people like horse face monsters.
Some people do like horse faces.
Hey. Okay, so that's
a lot of fish.
God, she's so rich. Ugly. But she's so ugly. And so every time, like, she was on some, it was L'Oreal or somebody had her as their spokesmodel. I'm like, really? Yeah. She's horrific.
She's not her. You guys are, I don't
think. Do I have to Google her face again? Because you said this last time that I showed you a picture, and you're like, well, that's just not a good picture. And then I showed you the whole Google results page, and they were all horrific, and you're like, meh. She looks like a monster.
What kind of description would you use on that face type, Katie?
Which is weird, because she was hot in Hocus Pocus.
She just didn't age as well as some of the other women.
Yeah. Because she aged like 100 years for every year that she aged. She's like the fucking crypt keeper at this point.
Can you cut her open and count the rings? Because she is now the ugly tree.
Yeah, she has one to rule them all.
You guys aren't nice.
That's true. I knew that about
us. We're only mean to monsters.
We're only mean, only her best, face we have a problem with.
Yeah. The best part is we haven't actually named her name in this.
No, we have not.
That's fine.
You'll
have
to figure
it
out.
Yeah,
I'm sure everyone let me just put it this way. Nathan pulled up a picture of her and a picture of a horse and asked me which one I liked better.
It was the horse, right?
Yeah, the horse
is
pretty.
What I picked.
It's pretty obvious.
did you say which one you licked better?
Yes, that's exactly right.
So that was our first email.
Yes, since we're an hour in, let's read some emails. Brian has one printed out while Andy pulls up the others.
Well, I have a couple that came from the actual Twitter.
All right, let's hear the tweets.
I can see the second one we're not doing, or now it's the third one.
Yeah, there's Travis was asking me what I'm painting now. Well, I can just say I'm painting my
none of your business, Travis.
Nothing. Nothing.
He's painting a picture of Sam.
I painted. Well, Raylene painted two bone swarms.
Born.
Well, I was all like since Midas. I was happy because I had a completely painted pig's force. Like, I don't need to buy or paint anymore. And then his theme force came on. I'm like, damn it.
His theme force is amazing.
Need to buy another model. Yeah, I think only one bone swarm's worth it, but two's okay.
That's
both
what we
fully
should talk
loaded,
about. Find the person to ask about the theme forces and read that, since Nate just said theme force. That's a good question.
Somebody, we got one today, too, on the Twitter. Someone twittered us. That's my new
twaddled
thing. They twaddled us.
They twittered our twats.
That sounds dirtier.
Is someone going to read the twat, or are we going to just remember?
That's a lot of fish.
It was basically Travis asking us what we're painting now.
Well, right, but you answered
that. No,
nothing.
We're not painting.
In a group.
Oh,
I am currently painting nothing, although I will be painting my Regman soon.
Okay.
I'm painting some of Ben's Rhett.
For the last 2 years.
So,
I'm sorry.
I just based the bone swarms that Raylene painted. That counts.
So are we ready for the next tweet then?
Sure. Go to the next tweet.
Next tweet is from Nicholas Robertson at the Main Geek, or at Main Geek. Does E. Morvana...
Hashtag Main Geek?
No, just...
Shift 3.
Speaking of which, that I will enter for a second... What the fuck is a hashtag was a plot point in Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah. Really?
The fact that a decent American citizen does not know the term hash was a plot point.
Yeah, they owe us royalties.
It was great. It was at the end, he's putting in the code to stop this terrible thing from happening. And they're like, hashing. It's like, what the fuck is a hashtag? I swear to God, that was fantastic.
I'm like, yes!
Now I
that was legitimately the only enjoyable part.
No,
of
I want to go see it just for that.
A lot of people got stabbed in the head.
Yes. He definitely, that was
they stole that from Riddick. Yeah. One of the Riddick short cartoon, he's like, I'm going to take this knife and I'm going to stick it in your eye. And he's in this completely preposterous situation to declare that. And at the end of the cartoon, he takes a knife and the guy's sitting there and his eyes are getting bigger and he's just slowly pushing into his eye. They stole that from Riddick.
He also killed him with a teacup.
I don't remember that.
That was from Riddick. He was like, I'm going to kill you
with
a teacup.
Yeah, that was in the
regular movie.
Right, in the movie.
At geek.hashtag.org.
Nicholas Robertson asks, does E. Morvana become auto-include for circle in two list formats?
Katie?
Yeah.
Nice elaboration.
All right,
you don't need to elaborate. No,
yes.
Fucking amazing.
All right, I played two games against E. Morvana in the last week. One with Ryas, the world's shittiest ninja, because I wanted to try Fat Asian's jam list. I'm bad with it.
How did it go having her behind a wall?
Turns out she's the world's shittiest ninja that doesn't have a boot on the front of her card. What the F? Anyway.
Hey, that might be the one reason nobody ever plays Ryas.
I caught Jeremy trying to charge over that wall. I'm like, what are you doing?
No, the game I played against E. Morvana, there was no wall involved. E. Morvana bent me over the table and stuck her boot up my ass the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, between Carnivore and everything else about her just tells Ryas to go fuck himself. Like, at least that jam list that has 10 Incubi in it. So then I played Our Menoth John.
Our Menoth John.
With my Thagrosh list, which is my legit tournament list that I play. With the new Warspear UA, which is pretty baller, by the way. And I played against Team Morvana. And, like, I felt like things were going pretty well.
No,
and then
they
got a turn.
Yeah.
And boy, did he break the stick off in my ass on his turn. Like, on his turn, anything that wasn't in my deployment zone just pretty much died. And I was like, all right, well, it's all right. Because I got, like, a couple beasts left. And I got Thagrosh. And I'm going to get some shit done. I got, like, I think I had 4 Warspears after he'd gone for his second turn. I think I had 4 left out of 2 units and 2 UAs. Terrible. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get some shit done. I killed a few things, and then the next turn, everything in my army just, like, evaporated.
You know what else is super bad for you is the fact that Carnivore RFPs?
Yeah.
So you sure don't get a feat in that matchup.
I don't get a feat. I don't get to read my Fury. He purifies off Spiny Growth, which is, like, a huge part of the list. There's no point in me casting Fog of War, because if Fog of War were terrible for it, she was upkeeping her own copy of Fog of War. Fog of War was so bad for me that it didn't matter that my beasts weren't affected by it, because my War Spears were. And so she was upkeeping Fog of War that I have on my own goddamn spell card.
Yeah.
Like, there was, it was so terrible.
So I want to know what kind of rose-colored glasses you were wearing, because I was kind of glancing at that game. And it didn't look good for you
when
from
I took,
the get-go at
when
all.
I, when I took a turn, I killed a few Tharn Ravagers. I killed the Tharn Ravager, like, shaman or something. I killed a few blood what are they
trackers?
Called? Yeah, a few blood trackers. Like, I thought things were okay. Also, everything in his army charges a million miles across the table and then just molests me. Everything's always a weapon master or three.
The interesting detail is in both your games you had things shoved up your ass.
I did.
I think that's a thing that happens to you a lot.
And then
games.
Later at home, right, Katie?
Well, hey, we like to keep our personal life a little bit
private. We've had complaints about discussing it on the podcast.
But yeah, no, Imorvana, like, I think that if I practice against her, I can have something of a game with Pythagrosh, but boy, is that bitch obnoxious.
No, you can't.
She's not with Pythagrosh.
Not with
Pythagrosh.
That's
probably
awful for you. I mean, she has Carnivore wherever she wants it, so you are never getting that feat, ever.
And Purify, I know. It's bad.
So what about Pythagrosh do you think at all? Like, you would always just pick your other list, no matter what it is.
Well, my other list just destroys her off the table, because it's E.
And that would be the case for her maybe not caster. Being an auto-include right there.
What?
Yeah, but range is something. Like, she's so far. She should be so far back.
Yeah, but that Elo has a try range of like 22 inches or something.
Well, next time you play.
And Fog of War has zero effect.
That's true.
Have someone pull it and get that matchup. Have him play.
Well, I thought about it. Like, the thing is, I wanted to try the bad matchup for me first, because I was going to play Thagrosh as my hardcore list.
Yeah.
And Imorvana, as popular as she is and as bad as she rapes Pythagrosh, I don't know that I can anymore. Because boy, does she!
She's going to be flavor of the month for 3 months, and then you watch it settle down.
But the problem is, I was going to play that at Adepticon.
I don't know. She's amazing. I don't know if it's just flavor of the month. I think she's the best caster in Circle.
I mean,
she teleports
until you watch her play several games at a high level. I don't think you can say that and know for sure.
And that's possibly true. I think there's a good chance that she becomes to Circle what like E-Gaspy is to Crix. Where it's just the one that you're going to see because it is the one that is just so dominant against people who don't know how to handle it.
I think that E-Gaspy is pretty dominant even against people that do know
which
how to handle
true.
It, which is a difference.
I think she might be that as well.
I think she might be. She cut herself, no exaggeration, 15 to 20 wounds every turn. And every turn, when he handed the turn back to me, she was at full health.
Because Carnivore, the fact that Carnivore heals back the damage she's doing to herself is pretty psychotic.
Stop. Using living models.
There's a solution.
I'll just switch
to Crix. That's true.
No,
I am looking
forward
to playing
serious
against him.
What?
Get him in Witch Doctors.
Yeah.
Done.
Can you only have one or can you have two?
You can have two.
That would screw her up pretty bad. Yep. And those things are pretty popular.
Yeah,
Crix is pretty popular.
List, yeah.
And she...
Convergence is flavor of the month. That's three things that screw
right.
When Will played, he would take his Cro-Mac versus Crix and then Nirvana for everybody else. But he definitely avoided the Crix matchup with her.
I think she's bad against Crix. I would agree.
Yeah, and I mean, she does have, you know, the Purification, Carnivore, Fog of War, which you don't really want to cast the Purification. They do a good job of putting Purification on casters that don't want to cast it.
So the other thing you could do, too, is if you, because pretty much most of the top masters you saw all have Purification, you know what casters you have in your faction have spells that cannot be removed, and usually those spells that really cannot be removed by Purification are usually baller. I mean, you want to take a look at your list and see which ones are good like that.
I would agree.
Like,
from Rhett's point of view, you have almost nothing that you care gets purified off.
No. Yeah, Rhett doesn't.
Like Saren. Saren
Could be really good against her.
Yep.
Saren could just in general be really... Well, the problem is she does have ranged weapon masters that with prey are...
Yeah, but they're relying on what rule to protect them?
Stealth.
Stealth. I'm just saying, like, she legitimately, like, depending on how much of her army you engage with Saren, on your feet turn, she can legitimately pick up a beast or two.
They are ranged weapon master, but so they don't hit that
about,
hard.
You're yeah, talking about, like, weapon master, like, POW.
Oh my
like,
god.
They're worthy. Blood checkers?
Yeah.
I never.
They're POW 9.
Never.
Yeah,
never
yeah but they're 11 them. Against their prey.
They're 11 against their prey and then weapon master.
Yeah, so 11 weapon master will kill a lot
they're
of
super susceptible to things that see through stealth and AoEs, Legion
you
of
You should have yeah. a lot of them yeah. dead before they get to you.
You're yeah. expecting to do 3 damage against armor 18.
A lot of times what Saren has taken is the Angelius, which is Overtake, which can bury itself in their assholes.
Yeah,
so.
Angelius
or like
really
a Scythian with Reach can just tie up the whole unit.
Angelius yeah, even better because you're charging and then overtaking right up in there, and they have Reach as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Angelius, duh. My brain was thinking Carnivian. Sorry.
Yeah, no, not Carnivian. But Angelius is pretty good against her.
Yeah.
I would agree. Like, I think Saren's got a good game against her, but I still think she's super terrifying.
And what does Saren have that gets purified off is just Banishing Ward, which isn't that big of a deal.
No.
Although, you'd think that you'd see Morvana with the druids.
She had the druids when I... Like, Menothan was playing her tier yeah. her tier force.
Her theme force.
Her tier force. But, yeah, her tier force also really, really kind of terrifying.
Force.
And it gives her a plus one to go first.
They're
which
doing a lot.
One of the best theme benefits yeah. ever.
They're doing a lot better job with those seamless. I
not
think.
With triple Lilith, but whatever.
Yeah. Eventually, you'll get some good theme forces again. Mark III, yeah. you'll get some good Rhett theme forces.
Rhett might have one.
Rhett got a great theme
well,
force.
No, I'm talking about like the original theme forces, which are just like spam this, spam that.
You
That's
know,
a theme force.
There was an email about theme forces and what to go to. So I just want to say that. Some of those early Rat team forces look really spammy, but that's only if you take them to tier 4. At least Ron.
Yeah.
Ron at tier 3 is very, very not spammy. It's 2 units of battle mages.
Yep.
Get you to tier
two
3.
Magisters.
Yeah. 3 magisters, I
three?
Think.
Okay. Here
yeah. You. But for 2 battle mage units and 3 magisters isn't that spammy.
No.
For somebody that wants them anyway, the 4 units of battle mages is tier 4, and that's obviously absolutely
well, I
awful.
Think we had two tweets asking us to talk or to be
right.
both to ask us to talk about theme forces.
But, yeah,
so let's talk theme forces. What
yeah.
about theme forces? What'd they ask?
Just which ones are good, I think.
Oh, is that literally what the tweet was?
Well, there's a few that are, whether you consider them good or bad, they're always the correct choice to make with the caster.
Keith Agrosh.
Obviously, well...
I don't know if that's as, like, the big automatic one is Shay.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If you do not, like, Talion does not exist in single-player games.
I've played Shay without the theme force.
Because it was
times.
A multi-caster game.
Right, right.
Must have been.
Also, before it came out.
Right, also that.
So I'm just saying, I played probably 25 games
well,
of Shay
great.
Out
You
of
get
theme.
To bring Horgan, you can bring high shields
right.
for the CRA.
That's really
you
good.
Can,
I saw
oh,
Danny
wrong
playing
theme
that
force.
Thing.
Yeah, he was
I was so
that.
Goddamn confused.
Yeah.
I was like, why is Thor and Shay, like, my brain just about freaking burst.
It is weird to have that, but...
It is a little weird.
The Pirate's Life theme force sure is the correct way to play him.
I would argue that
no.
the Pith Agrosh theme force is pretty close to that.
It may
that
be
automatic.
Close, and it may be, like, the better way to do. Kind of like... But it isn't necessarily... Like, Shay, literally, it is...
Everything
the,
you want, just cheaper.
Not only that, like, you can only legally play him in a list that is 99% the theme force anyway. You take
Gunner
out...
Dougal.
You take out Gunner Dougal... And it's its theme force. Maybe right. Bloody Brannigan? Is he Bloody Brannigan allowed?
Oh, yeah, he's
Yeah, he's allowed,
is.
Yeah. So you take out Gunner Dougal, and you have his theme force.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine if there was literally one Legion model that wasn't allowed in theme force.
You mean Midas' theme force?
Yeah, kind of like that. No humans allowed.
My old story was I made a new Shay list, and somebody said, hey, Jim, there's a Shay theme force in No Quarter. I pulled up my list. I said, read it to me. They read it to me, and it was the exact model-for-model list that I just made. And I gained 5 free points.
Yep.
So that was pretty good. That
yeah.
was a good day.
That works out.
That was not a good day.
No,
we,
it was a good day.
Because Jim was really damn good with those fucking pirates, and then suddenly he gets a whole new unit for free.
Yeah, I might have been doing pretty well in tournaments before that theme force came out with Shay. So yeah.
what other really automatic... Like, I think Pythagoras is in the discussion, at least, for automatic, pre-automatic theme forces.
I don't think that you necessarily have to talk about just if they're automatic or not, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
like,
which ones you like. Which ones?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I love Pythagoras' theme force. I think it's amazing.
I obviously play Doom
Shapers.
Doom Shapers, Runes of War.
Yup.
That's just pretty good. It's not good against anti-magic, though, because your entire army is all magic users. But if they have models that are susceptible to AoEs... You know, you have a bunch of heavies in there. It's pretty solid overall. Just anti-magic, it does not do well against.
No.
Or anti-blast.
Yeah, Rhett's okay against that list.
Yeah.
Can be. Generally. I mean, depending on, a lot of people don't like some of the stuff we do. But.
Well, I disagree with them. So they're doing it wrong.
Not always. Different things work for different areas.
For critics, I don't play the theme force as much. I think some of them are pretty valid, though. I like Epic Scars. Having the double Stixis Raiders with UA is fun. But it's only Stixis, but it's a fun list. I would gladly play that in a Theme Force event, like if I was going to play.
I've seen you play Gorshade 2 Theme Force a lot.
Gorshade 2, if it wasn't for the lack of Pathfinder, I would play that all the time, but I really need Pathfinder.
Ah, yeah.
Otherwise, that's the only reason.
Which is why you don't like that Zal Theme Force, even though that's awesome.
Correct. Zal Theme Force lacks Pathfinder. That's why I don't play that. I like
The Pig Theme Force is also lack Pathfinder. That's even though it is the same thing, kind of like Talion, where it's 99% anyway, the one thing you're losing is Saxon.
Yep, that's true.
That hurts. Well,
I was piggybacking on something you were saying. It was topical.
Let's wait for Brian to talk and then cut him off.
You mean every single
and
time?
And Cricks, I think.
Oh!
We all saw that coming.
No, I actually like Rasheth. I like him in or out of Jordan's theme, which is kind of nice.
What about Rasheth's theme force do you like?
Well, I like the fact he has two theme force. I would play both of those theme force, and I like him lots. I have, like...
The second one's crazy.
Yeah, the second one's crazy. I can finally bring in my Cannoneers and Siege Animatrixes.
Is he the one that lets you bring multiple Agonizers?
Yes, like, the first one.
Then they start out loaded or whatever?
Well, yes, with three each.
That's sick.
And the first one gets some minions, too, right?
The first one is Chain Gang, so it's basically minion units and elephants, which is pretty awesome. And the Pain Giver task solos to make all my minions more powerful.
Yep.
Second one's all about range to give a Mammoth, Siege Animatrix, and Cannoneers.
Interesting.
So, and I like him out of it, too. So I like him all, like, every possible way, which is kind of fun.
We had Rasheth visit our Sarah Jessica game Parker. Store the other day, but nobody got his autograph. It was really sad.
Yeah, he wasn't our game store, man. Yeah, I saw the picture. I thought we were going to say the name.
This had nothing to do with previous topics.
P-Gaspy's fun because you can advance deploy your Mechathralls. So when I want to play my Mechathrall spam, so I can have 30 AD Mechathralls and, you know, 9 Brute Thralls all AD'd. Yes.
One of the obvious ones for critics is that Morten Ebra theme.
Morten Ebra is very popular. I don't play her much, but she's definitely... Some people say she's only good in that, but I think she's okay.
She's good in
way.
General.
Yeah, she's someone who I might start playing her in a couple months. But.
For no particular reason, I've been looking into building critics lists, and that was one of the ones that I have in my iBodger right now is Morten Ebra theme
for no particular, I'm selling my mercs for critics.
I'm probably selling my mercs for Convergence, but...
For what?
Kricks.
Just keep your mercs.
I'll probably also... The thing is, if I did pick Kricks back up, like, so many of the mercs, like, I'd have to keep all the pirates anyway, yeah. So at that point, I'll probably just keep the mercs.
Sell.
And just
you should only have a couple armies. More than two armies, you just sell.
Right, but...
No, like, I eventually want to own all the armies. I do.
Yeah, you make 10 times as much as I do.
I don't know about 10 times, but...
at least double. Probably more like triple.
It's just a waste of money. Yeah, miniature. If you don't use a miniature in a year, you shouldn't own the miniature.
Yeah,
that's
no,
my belief. Yeah. So if you want everything, just play a lot more.
I'm coming due on selling all my mercs. Now I played a couple of games with Bart.
Yeah, so you're fine. Just practice games. You're good to go. Just rotate it in and out. It's my 1-year policy on miniatures.
I want to play other factions. Everyone keeps on telling me I have to still stay with my trolls.
Well, you don't come down on Tuesdays, and you don't come on Mondays. And
Kricks. Two or three months ago.
I stopped playing Kricks 3 months ago?
Yeah.
I've been playing trolls for almost a year now.
No, you definitely took Kricks to a couple of tournaments in the last year.
I suppose, yeah.
I did make a funny two-caster 75-point Kricks list, which was Denny 1 and Gorshade 2 with Bane Lord Tartarus, Nightmare, 40 Bane Thralls, two of which have, you know, the standards on there, Gorman DeWolf, 4 Warwitch Titans with their Shadow Combine. So all of those models are stealth weapon masters. Like, the whole list is stealth weapon masters that makes Bane Thralls when they kill things.
Excuse you, Nightmare doesn't have weapon master.
He does have, well, against, yeah. Nightmare does not have weapon master, and Gorshade has to upkeep occultation on himself to have stealth. But then you basically just have stealth weapon masters, and 90% of the list makes more Bane Thralls. It was funny to me.
Yeah, it's two casters, everything is broken.
My shit.
I didn't say broken, I said funny. Like, I made it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is hilarious.
Sounds
like, you set
good,
it down though. Across from Rhett, and they just go, aww.
I still don't think stealth's the problem everyone says it is.
Maybe not. Like, you stealth entire armies troopers. Is a bit of an issue. Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, even against lists that don't care like that, they'd get in there, and the Bane Thralls start making more Bane Thralls. You lose the attrition war.
Yeah. Well, even without stealth, you still have
that's still bad.
A ton of troops that can kill just about any fucking thing. Yeah. Fuck you, Nathan.
It's funny.
No.
It's funny
any
to me.
Other theme forces we want to talk about?
It's still Brian's turn.
No, that's the most part.
Yeah. My other theme force that brought up, Nathan played it a lot, was Gristle.
Gristle 1. Yeah.
Gristle 1.
She gets infinite, super fast Creel Warriors.
Her first turn, her Creel Warriors are automatically affected by Hoof It, and she gets to bring 2 UAs. So basically, like, I did the math, and assuming she goes first, her second turn, she gets to have, like, 40 Creel warriors in the enemy's deployment zone.
Seems good.
Like, and you can't trample over those guys. Like, the thing is, like, it's just, if you win the roll to go first, you just win scenario. Because there's no way they're getting through that meat shield in time.
I'm surprised we don't see that more with Mark.
With 2013.
Yeah.
I'd probably start playing it tomorrow.
I think that was a baller.
I haven't played it in a while.
2013 at least takes a little longer to lose. Because, yeah. And you're still going to have to kill something out of the zone at some point.
She doesn't get to bring heavies in that theme force. She's only allowed light beasts. But you still have six caber throwers and a pyre troll, so you're still murdering anything that dares to approach you.
Oh, yeah. The caber throwers are murderous.
And that's the thing. She also has a 10-man unit of bushwhackers that just stay in the back. And, like, what was happening when I played it in one tournament, and I ended up winning, so it worked pretty well. But I was playing against somebody, and they would have, like, fast things try to run around the outside, and I just do 10-man CRAs and explode them, and then just stay out of my zone.
Yeah, this list here has got 60 models at 50 points.
Jeez. Yeah, and that's the one concern is, you know, dice or, you know, death clocking.
Yeah, except after, like, turn one, they run, they hoof it forward. Turn two, you feet, they run again, and they're in, and then you just never do anything. You're just done with those guys. They literally exist except for the six of them with capers.
The other troll force that I've seen do really well and I've heard and sounds really scary is the Family Reunion.
Oh, yeah.
That Chad plays the crap out of.
I just finally picked up my second unit of champions, so I can start messing with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good, solid theme force. Nope. Boomhowlers should not be allowed to have Stay Death and Quicken and all that shit on them.
Creel Stone?
Yeah, the Creel Stone. Like, it's not okay.
Well, it's like having Arcane Shielded for Boomhowlers. I mean, that's a thing that exists.
I know.
I just picked up Gatorman Witch Doctors to use for my Boomhowlers.
But did that exist before the Mercenary UAs?
Just make them undead?
No.
So they're fearless.
They're fearless.
Yep. And they work with Jarl.
Boomhowlers Command 9 is not fearless.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and in fact, they fail those command checks fairly regularly.
One out of six times.
I know somebody here who doesn't really believe in it, but I think the potential for Sacrificial Strike at Power 16s could be potentially useful.
And I'm that person that doesn't believe it.
You're right. I didn't think about that.
For late game, though. I'm not saying, like...
No, but late game, that can be a full trick.
Because generally, most of the time, you're not going to get Boomhauer because he's back far enough. And if I keep that Gatorman Witch Doctor around Boomhauer, he's probably going to be still alive.
Yep.
So later on, I might be able to pull off, you know, one Boomy to do a Sack Strike. And
could be amazing.
Auto-hit Pow 16.
Auto-hit Pow 16s are pretty okay.
Yep.
Until turn 7, you're never going to do that, though, because he's always going to be doing the Fearless.
The tough Fearless.
Yeah, generally.
Any good Circle theme forces you want to talk about?
I know that I played the Balder one for a little bit, but I don't remember which Balder it was because I didn't really like his playstyle. But that one was pretty easy to make it a theme.
I think it was Balder 1. I don't think you played Balder 2 at all.
Yeah, so. I've heard both of the Balder stuff.
Thank you for not playing
Balder
2, by the way.
Epic Balder, he's a little bit boring to play. Probably he's kind of really straightforward.
He reminds me very much of Kador's playstyle, Epic Balder. I'm going to walk forward a little bit, play some Rochambeau.
I don't think that's really how Kador plays, though.
It can be.
It's what people think when they look at the pictures, but once you pick them up, they aren't the I'm going to run lots of slow, hard-hitting jacks. Like, people claim that that's what they were intended to be, but that's not Kayazi and Wintergard.
I thought you were making a swastika. Sorry.
I don't like Kayazis. I'm surprised people still play them things. I mean, I don't think they're good.
Really?
Really. If you're not either speed 7 or have reach, I don't want you as a melee unit for the most part.
I'm amused. I do not understand the dislike for the new ret unit, the infiltrators.
Who doesn't like those guys?
I don't think there's that much dislike. I think
it exists.
It does exist.
Everything exists, though. There's 6 billion people in the world.
Those guys are straight amazing.
I don't know. I don't go in the ret forums on the main boards that much, so anytime I see discussion of things that aren't in my factions, it's when I'm on a different message board, and I guess it's a pit of hatred anyway, but the Focus and Fury boards pretty much, like, in the thread discussing them, 80% of the people think they're bad. And I don't understand it because they're speed 7. I mean, they're literally Kayazi but better.
Yep.
They don't have the mini feet, but apart from that, they're better.
The base unit is Kayazi but better.
Yep, the base unit is Kayazi but better, but
they just don't have
the UA.
Yeah.
Were they spoiled the rules in No Quarter or something?
They spoiled the whole stats and everything.
Yeah.
So that's in the new No Quarter coming up. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I'll look forward to that. I haven't actually paid attention at all to them.
They're pretty amazing.
There's in what I was just saying. There's Speed 7 and Pathfinder, which makes them a real melee unit in my book.
I missed Pathfinder. I missed that somehow when
and,
I was reading about
it. And Kayazis are not Pathfinder, and they're Speed 6, and they don't have reach. They just don't do it for me.
Yeah,
for
and real. These guys, everybody has two attacks instead of just one, and they have overtake.
No,
so,
they don't have overtake.
Or they don't have overtake? Oh, no, no, that's right. God. They don't. They don't. They that's right. That's people saying, people are like, maybe if the UA gives them overtake, I'll take them. No.
If the UA gave them sidestep, I'd probably have a heart attack.
You never did your backflip after Galleon had a POW 18 or higher weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
You promised
I did
a backflip.
I just forgot to take a videotape. It was at home.
Sure you did.
So you missed it.
But yeah, those guys are amazing. Yeah. Any other Tweety tweets?
No, we're still on Theme Forces.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You didn't. She said she doesn't like Balder. That was your whole input, Katie? Forces, Katie?
I haven't
Then you're just going to draw a milk bottle? Is that a milk bottle now?
It is a milk bottle.
Okay. Someone said she's just doodling. She's not really paying any attention.
Well, I don't really play Themed Horses that much, so I don't have a lot to speak on about it. The only one I tried was the Balder one, and then I haven't even looked to see what Chromax or, like, Mosiris or Kruger's is.
Chromax is actually pretty cool. He runs with a ton of Tharns. Yeah. That was, like, one of the last things I did was I played Chromax Theme Force and before I sold all my Circle to you. But that would have been a force that I would have... If I could have kept those, I would have.
Aren't Tharn reviled?
No, they don't have that where they stand up for free.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, they don't.
Well, isn't Ikruger the one whose Steamforce lets you take Eris?
Yes.
Like, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of his no-quarter ones.
Yeah.
Well, I think I don't think any new player should start with Theme Forces as their only option.
I agree.
If you're new, don't just look at Theme Forces.
Yeah.
But veteran players, don't throw out the Theme Force as an option either. Yeah. Look through and look at the benefits and try it out sometimes. Because, like, the Ron Theme Force from the original book I thought was a spammy piece of shit, and I discounted it for a long, long time. And we went to a Theme Force tournament, and I went to Tier 3 because that's all I owned. And all of a sudden, all my Battle Mages were advanced moving, and I still had double Phoenix, and I had a really good list. I had House Guard Halberdiers in there. It was a really, really solid list. I'm like, oh, I could play this in a normal tournament like this.
Do you get Eris?
No.
So you give her up, and you know, I mean, that's the thing. Like,
you're going to give her up, you know.
You're going to give up something, yeah.
You're probably giving Eris up to your other list anyway.
I like Eris and Ron.
Man, I have...
Shooting off Vanishing Ward is pretty clutch.
Oh, who cares?
Your Battle Mages just charge.
Yep.
Holy shit, are those things scary when they charge. That's why that Force is called Charge of the Battle Mages.
Right, yeah, and they advance move 6 inches. Plus, I have TK for my Heavy Jacks, and I have several Heavy Jacks. I'm running three.
Three in that
yep.
list?
Yep.
Oh, two Phoenixes and a Remember. I don't know what
the third and his character, Jack.
Disco?
Yep. That list is surprisingly good. It is.
The one thing I will say about Theme Forces is don't assume to play a Theme Force well you have to go to Tier 4 either.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of Theme Forces that are super legit at like Tier 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
That's what Brian was going to say.
I was going to say that.
Oh, I didn't
Jeremy had a dick in his mouth, so I had to wait for him to get it out.
Yeah, I played...
I don't even understand why that...
That made no sense. I just...
Agreed.
He pulled it out of his ass. So he
like, you're the one who wasn't talking, so you'd be the one with something in your mouth.
That is true.
Of the five original Ratcasters, I've actually played three of the Theme Forces. The only ones I haven't played...
I played the Raven one for lulz at 35 points.
Yeah, that's one I haven't played, and I haven't played... I actually haven't played...
Oh, my God. I'm going to shove... Oh.
He likes internet memes made words, I take it.
OMG, is that so annoying.
The difference.
So, yeah. I guess I haven't played Raven, Kalissa, or Gareth, but I see... I mean, they all look like spammy pieces of crap.
The Raven one is super spammy.
One's a little... I mean, that one... There's a guy in Atlanta, Master Shakes or whatever, that I guess like that he plays... But he doesn't play three units of them. He plays two units of those, a unit of Stormfall and Hyperion. Mm-hmm. I can't get behind that, but... I mean, it works for him, and, you know, that's the point, is you can try some of those old Theme Forces, even for Rhett, that don't look very good.
Well, and some of them are kind of goofy when you put them together with new stuff. Like, a lot of the new Rhett Theme Forces take into account that there's two different kinds of jacks, and they're, specifically prevent the Vire ones. A lot of those old Theme Forces just say non-character jack. Banshee certainly fits the bill, and he is solid.
Yeah, the Vire jacks are super good.
Yeah.
A lot of them say jack with force field, though.
I thought that was only the newer ones that said that. Like, the new No Quarter Virus list one I know says that. I was super pissed about that.
I could pull up War Room, but I forgot my iPod's password.
Side note, oops. Theme Force related is...
What
the... I want to know what the hell a Highwayman unit is.
The Highwayman?
Yeah.
This is an iPod.
New Grim 2. That's actually... I was going to say that,
the Hunter's Grim. His Theme Force, he can bring Highwaymen.
Yep. Whatever that is.
Whatever the hell those
like
are.
A minion to me.
They're not in that book. No, they're Troll Highwaymen. It's, like, going to be...
Was it Troll Highwayman?
Yeah, so it's some unit that... They'll get next year, I guess. Maybe.
Cool. I've been I will probably play that list too. I mean, they get scouts that can ambush.
Ambushing scouts is terrifying.
And can't you bring like four awesome. Of them or something? Like, doesn't it?
I think they become FAU.
Yeah. So just shitloads of scouts assaulting in from the side of the table.
That sounds terrifying.
It's hilarious. Oh, Katie, that's a snowman. You drew a snowman.
I drew a snowman.
Okay.
So if you want to go over one last quick thing here for the tweets.
We have a bunch of emails too. That
yeah.
Yeah, we're
moving on from Theme Force.
Well, we're doing all the, we're doing like the tweets from like a day ago, and we're ignoring the emails from like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we didn't.
We got to kind of go from older to newer, but that's only from an organization.
No, whatever. What are some emails?
Well, I mean,
you have one literally in front of you.
Oh, that one's not the oldest one, and I'm not gonna.
We don't have.
I'm polite.
What
I don't,
is
I don't,
the one that you have there? Because I have no idea which one you have printed out.
I don't know. Can't read
all right, so then I'm going to go back to the tweet.
Yeah, to the
Katie, that's a phone. You drew a phone. But that should have, it's 3x4 because don't forget the 9 digits plus 0, the hash symbol,
wow.
and an asterisk.
So there's a tweet we missed, Andy, or no?
No, I don't know. I'm just reading over whatever's popping up here. So
well, go to email because we do have some super old emails we've never answered.
Oh, my God. I was just.
John Ford sent an email, too, that's not in there. Some we had a nice, well-worded email for that one guy.
Okay.
Maybe all right,
so
that.
What's that one, Andy?
Oh, she drew a rotary phone now.
I just for these here, it's kind of hard to just pre-screen them as we're going out through them. I was hoping that other people, since I gave passwords to everybody.
Oh, I've read through several of them, but Brian had one specifically in front of him that I thought he'd at some point open
his mouth
about.
That's what I thought so, too, that he would talk about that
Brian,
one.
Brian, talk about the email in front of you.
That was a good use of 5 minutes of airtime.
Yeah.
I fully support it.
I mean, the tweets I could just go and just pull up, read, and then present it to everybody. But email, I'm not going to screen the whole thing.
Brian, go!
I'm letting him ramble more. I was just waiting for the I was enjoying
he's
it.
A rambler.
This email is from John, who is actually I won't read off his whole email, but it's John is the best at his email address. I just
okay.
He says, "Hey there, Crippled System crew. Hello, Katie."
Lesson three.
Yeah. So you got another nice. Lesson 3.
Thank you.
It's kind of a long email, so I'm going to summarize. He's like, "Hey, you guys are awesome. Everyone else sucks."
True.
That's actually pretty much what he said. But then
that was point one.
That
point
was point
two.
Point two was he was asking me a question about Scorn. He knows I'm playing Crix. Musa Mini's advice for Scorn is take Bronze Backlighter, Beast Handlers, Annihilators, and that's pretty much their topic. So he was. He was asking about the cannoneers, if taking a couple cannoneers with will breakers is as good as a mammoth, because he wants
it's
to try
it's almost
them.
The same point cost, and it's the same number of shots.
It's 22. It's 22 points. I mean, Nathan talked about it earlier. It's basically for the point. If you're looking at for the ranged effect, it is about the same, but it is AoE 3s versus 4s, and an AoE 4 from a mammoth is going to clip more.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, spamming them also. I actually do. I have a Resheth list I play that does have multiple cannoneers and the Siege Animatrix, which I will be using some more, especially with a new theme coming out. So I don't hate the cannoneers, and also mammoths. There's a lot of hate against like single models, so things are going to drop mammoths once in a while. I wouldn't say that this option of double cannoneers will breakers is a competitive option, but I think it's kind of a fun option. And sometimes, I mean, I like to spam a bunch of cannoneers with Resheth's feet up, and then like everything. If you're fighting against hordes, and suddenly everything is at -2 armor, cannoneers are going to do some damage. So,
yeah.
If you're looking at, if you're looking for fun, it's a good option. If you're looking for competitive, it's questionable at best.
The trouble with the cannoneers, aren't they rat like 3?
No, they're rat 4. Well, also mammoths is rat 4. They're all 4s, okay. But.
Well, with the Rat 4 on the Mammoths, you're expecting them to miss because the AoEs are so big.
AoE 4 drifting's better.
And they're more powerful,
yep.
Aren't they? Or
yep.
Not
and
really?
The, yep. Also, his recommendation is Saints Row the Third.
Yes. Yes.
So
I have not played, but I have heard nothing but good things
like,
about
like
game.
There's no reason to play Grand Theft Auto games when you can play Saints Row games. Like, my favorite, in Saints Row the Third, there is a mission where you are driving, and there's a tiger in the car, and you have to keep the tiger excited. Like, if you drive too boring, he gets angry and mauls you. So it has meters up top for animal rage, and I forget what the second one's called, but it's basically just psychotic driving. But the fact that the game has an animal rage meter at some point in it is great.
So you said there's no reason at all to play Grand Theft Auto. I thought you were just going to stop.
Oh, God, man. The Saints Row games are amazing. The Saints Row games are amazing. Like, just driving around with an angry tiger in your car. It's a mission.
Oh, that email from John was that we talked about earlier. It was a guy who was complaining about hotel sex.
Ah,
one of his emails is like, sex for Dave. He's complaining about it. He's like, hotel sex is great, but need to stay, get back on task.
On task?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which people podcast forget, is he listening
to? Well, that's
to?
The thing is, this like, there's derailing.
No.
Well, not
other
for the
podcasts
first 40
can
minutes.
Derail, but we're not on, like, Codcast? We're not a train. We're not on, yeah, Codcast. That's well, where you just talk about fish.
We well, you cast for cod.
And we shouldn't snicker when we talk about sex.
Sex.
That's the inappropriate thing.
Vaginas.
And one guy emailed us about, I think we had one.
We had two more emails besides that. We had somebody asking how to build their meta, and I think that would be definitely a good discussion point.
That's a bigger topic.
That's a bigger topic for
is the last later one a shorter on. Topic or no?
And the last one it was basically
Clue.
Mentioning about Clue,
yeah.
Which is,
oh yeah,
which we already covered.
Did we cover it on air?
Yeah,
Clue.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, no, the next movie. Episode.
Today. I thought we were talking about something else about
the next episode of Psych. This Wednesday is 100 episode. It's basically a homage to. Clue.
Yep.
The whole episode. It has some of the same actors going to be on it and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Nice. They've done it with Twin Peaks. They've had the entire cast of Twin Peaks on a second episode, which is pretty awesome.
They need to have all the cast of The Mentalist on Psych.
They did their once a season mentioning of Mentalist last week or 2 weeks ago. It was pretty great.
Well, I mean, it's kind of ballsy for Psych to mention The Mentalist because people catch on to the fact that Psych is just a ripoff of The Mentalist if they keep mentioning it.
Yeah, right.
I heard Brian told me it was the other way around.
That was the joke.
That was.
That's the joke.
But thank you for clarifying.
Got it.
Unless time goes the other direction. Because if you go the other direction, then The Mentalist came out first.
Right.
So, Katie, do you actually have a corner?
Yeah,
or
sure,
we have one extra?
One extra.
What's the other tweet?
Her corner can come up. The last tweet here is from Paul Johans.
Johans.
He's asking us if we're looking forward to traveling to Houston to get the cup back.
Nathan's going.
I'll go.
Nathan's
I don't
double dipping.
Was this on air? This on air or was this off air? I don't remember.
Yeah, this
we're
was
going
on
and
air.
The new guy that's joining our meta would go because he's from Austin.
Oh yeah, yeah. So there
and
we go.
I might go.
And Brian,
yeah,
might
we
go,
can all
no double dipping for
you. Well, this would be great. I won't tell Judy. We'll just all show up with like sleeping bags and cots and be like, "Hey, we're all crashing in your place."
Yeah, I'll be at the hotel.
It'll be hilarious.
Brian has passed the point in his life where he does cots.
Yeah, he can have the bed. I have a guest bedroom. I stayed there last time.
Yeah, I think I'll probably go, too. It'd be kind of neat.
Also, I guarantee my daughter's a better War Machine player than half the people in Houston.
I liked Crump's bus idea, his tricked-out school bus.
Yeah, which...
For super cheap? I like super cheap.
Super cheap? What's your definition of super cheap? He's like, hey, if we can get a million people to chip in, we can all sit in
that
fucking bus for 20 hours.
That was Fat Asian.
Oh, the school bus.
Crump countered and was like, I have a modded-up party school bus that we could have for basically free, and I'm like,
that's
free,
better.
Yes.
Because John was like, hey, I can rent this bus, and if we have like 80 people, it's only $300 per person to sit in a bus for 20 hours.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good use of money.
Who are we talking to? We're going to Lock and Load to. Not this year, next year.
We're
driving Lock and Load next year.
Yeah, by the way, next year we're driving Lock and Load.
we're going to stay
for like a week.
Yeah.
That's out in Seattle?
Yeah. We're going to Seattle for
it
a week.
It ain't worth it.
Well, we're not going just for Lock and Load.
It's
we're going for
take
like a week.
It's going to take 3 days to get there.
What ain't
it's
worth
less
it.
Less than 24 hours if you drive it.
I'll go if we go up through. No, no, no.
That means it's at least 2 days.
Not with enough drivers.
Yes, it is.
No, it'll be literally like 20, 30 hours to get there.
I know.
Right. We drove. I once drove with a bunch of people. 20 hours to Boston and going straight through, even rotating drivers, is hell.
It's really not, I've done it.
All
I
will say is if we do that, we need to go up. We need to go through Minnesota because then we can stop at the Spam Museum. We swing through South Dakota, and you can go through Wall Drug and the Corn Palace, and then the trip is worth it.
Yeah. I think
it'd be better off just taking a plane.
I think it would be better.
Plane can't
train?
Stop at the Corn Palace.
I'm still going to fly.
What about an automobile?
Well, there'll be
planes,
enough of us going.
We can figure it out.
Next.
I mean, Katie, is that an 80s
more,
movie?
More of us are going to Lock and Load it, and those who are too cool for cars can do what they want.
Exactly.
Four of us were talking at the same time, so I just want to point out that Katie also has never seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I know.
Wow.
I've never seen any movie ever.
She's never seen any
good
movie ever.
So it shows here 28 hours.
Yeah, like
yeah,
said,
you
got to
add up gas versus the plane trip, and you got to add up the fact that you're stopping four extra times for food, and you're buying sodas, and I mean,
renting the car because
we'd want to rent a car that's big enough for us all to fit with our stuff too.
Oh,
so it's going to be awful and cost more. Good
idea. It'll be super cheap because I can rent a car super super cheap because I have like super.
Yeah, but you're still like membership. You said, we're going to stop like 50 extra times for meals and stuff.
You could just get a plane
not
ticket.
If we just drive through.
Like,
just get a plane ticket
5 months before. And not worry about it?
For like $350 each?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what that kind of drive is going to cost you. We went to Iowa and back. It was $40.
I wouldn't drive
to save
money.
Just our trip down to Iowa, going at a car that's about 30 miles a gallon. Cost about $80 in gas.
Me and Jordan cost. It was 60
I feel like
bucks
I just said that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's
just
that.
You just say that.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I know. I don't. I would not drive for the fact of saving money. I would just drive for just a. I like
driving. I like road trips.
I would take.
You get a fun group of people in the car. It's more fun.
And
than
we're doing. We're talking about.
No, it won't be because I'm looking at your line right now, and it goes through North Dakota, which is okay, and then it goes through Montana, and going through Montana is like going through Illinois twice.
Yeah.
Oh God.
We're all not joking. I'm not joking.
And that's a long way, Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah.
Twice.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Like I just said, it's Illinois twice. And then you have to go through some mountains, which is going to slow you down.
But if it's going to go through North Dakota, we should go through South Dakota instead. Because South Dakota has the Corn Palace.
We'll just add like 20 hours to the trip. I don't know we stop anywhere.
But it's the Mitchell Corn Palace.
It's 2 hours to the trip.
Not worth 2 hours.
Mm. Corn Palace is definitely worth 2 hours. No, I'm not even joking.
I
am not even joking.
When I was a kid, it was just a store you could buy some cheap burnt
coffee. Waldrug is just that. But the Corn Palace is amazing. Those corn mosaics.
I will say this,
made out of corn.
I will say this, though. The Corn Palace gift shop, which I just typed in Corn Palace, Google did autofill it immediately.
Yeah.
So I will add it in between Seattle and there. And it is currently at 28 hours.
See? What was it without the Corn Palace?
28 hours.
Yeah, see, it adds no time. It's literally no time added. You
Hold
can
on.
Stop there.
And you get through
you
Montana
do,
a little less.
Yep. Yeah. You do go through part of Wyoming, though.
Which means you're going to be in mountains, which is going to take you a
no,
little extra time.
Wyoming, actually, because we drove through there on the way back from Colorado, and Wyoming, it's Badlands. It's like flatlands. You don't
No,
actually,
there's all sorts of mountains in Wyoming, dude.
The middle
there's
of the
I went there when
the
I was like 13 to
terrible.
My uncle's house
I went
or
there
something.
Like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
There
if
are
you're
some
about
mountains,
like the eastern side.
Over time, mountains are road. And
right. 70%
years.
Of the state, you can look at it right here. 70%
yeah, the
of the state
half
is mountains.
Is mountains.
So
the western half, yeah.
I did add the Spam Museum in Austin,
yeah.
Austin, Minnesota, and it's at 28 hours.
Again, so for zero additional travel time, I will go with your lock and load plan if we stop at the Spam Museum. And we stop at the Corn Palace.
Only you're going to go into the space. We're all going to spend the car, so you're in
and
out of
that. South Dakota is actually
that's
pretty
fine.
Cool, too, because it's
South
got
Dakota's.
Awesome Badlands.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We're also talking about going for like a week and a half.
If
it's
I went
just
to Seattle, I would fly.
Yeah, I'd fly, too.
It'd be no freaking contest.
But what if driving you got to go to the Corn Palace and the Spam Museum?
Yeah, but you're also
I'd want to fly more?
You guys are just going for lock and load. We're going to go for like a week and a half. So if you're there for a week and a half, you have to rent a car anyway, so now we're spending. We're not talking about going for 1 to 2 days. We're talking about going for like 2 weeks.
No, yeah,
so it's more of a travel across the country for 2 weeks kind of shenanigans.
I mean, if you're staying, if you're stopping somewhere in between and staying for a couple of days, then I could buy it more.
Yeah, that's
because
why.
Then you'd be buying two plane tickets. Yeah. But if you're going straight there and straight back, then that's awful.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
That
but
would be
that's,
awful.
But that's what we're not doing, though.
Right.
Either way, I was saying.
I'm excited to go to Adepticon for
Wait,
one day.
We could see if we could.
That'd be fun. That'd be a fun quote road trip.
Adepticon will be fun.
Add a destination.
I am... What? What are you adding now?
He's Googling random things. So, Katie's Corner.
Go on, Katie.
Corner us.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the three ways to win and how you choose your two lists when you go to a tournament to even out the different ways that you can win so that you have a good pick when you go up against different factions in their lists. So, the basic, there's three ways to win. There's attrition, there's caster kill, and then there's scenario play. And as an example, for scenario play, I've chosen E. Kruger because he can push things out of the zone and prevents them from getting back into the zone.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. And then for the caster kill route, I have chosen Cromack because he kills casters. That's what he does.
Twice in one game.
That's why you take him, is to kill casters. And then Mosire would be more of my attrition list.
Or Emorvana.
I still have a lot of work to do with Mosire to figure out how to make that work. But I have faith that it'll happen.
I think you should stay aware that there's three ways to win, but I don't think you necessarily need to take two lists where all three of those ways are present.
Right. Well, my first two is going to be try for the scenario or try for the caster kill, and those are my two main things because I don't understand attrition that well. And so,
well, and attrition really will lead to one of those other two.
It will.
Like, that's the thing.
But in and of itself, it is a play style. Yes. Not necessarily a win condition, but a play style.
Because it really, I guess I'd say, like, the key is to make sure that I would say it's even not even a two-list build thing, but each list you build, each single list needs to be able to do two of those three things.
I think
otherwise
that
you'll get gimmicked out of the one.
With Circle, don't stick yourself in a little box because you're going to have some outside the box play to win. So sticking yourself into a box, well, this is my scenario attrition list. You're going to get caught not making right plays because you're trying to force that style.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you only have one win condition, you're even more in the box. Like if you're like if the only trick of your Kruger 2 list is that like if I push him out, then I win, hooray. And what if you don't? Like you need to have a second.
I mean, I think that it's okay to have one prominent trick because it chases people into other games that you can play. I don't buy into that whole. I don't buy into that as much.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, like even a more realistic one is if Krios 1, if you build a Krios 1 list entirely out of pop and drop, that's all it does is pop and drop, and then you face someone who's knockdown immune, you're fucked.
What's pop and drop?
Krios's feat is knock everything down, so you build a list with Krios and a million guns, and you go, knock your caster down, win.
Okay. Knock your caster down, shoot him a lot, win.
Yeah.
Who would
and
lose
so,
to that? Shut your
yes.
face.
So if that's all your list can do, like if you don't build it for anything else, you literally just have Krios and a bunch of low accuracy guns that are only there so that on feat turn you auto kill their caster and then they're Shay and they're like, oh, you can't, I still have my defense 17, fuck you. And you're like, oh.
You'd lose with Shay to that list anyway.
Okay, well then whatever. I mean, some steady caster, whatever. More than ever, she can't be knocked down. Okay, and so you have no answer for that. Like you only built with the one win style, the assassin in. You don't have scenario or attrition built. You can't do that.
I just don't think any good list is like. I don't think any good list is putting themselves into that predicament.
Yep. Keyword good. Any good list doesn't put itself in that predicament.
Right. So I don't think you're ever building for just one or two things. I think you're building a list to be good.
Right. Yeah, but when you go into lists, you're saying, all right, well, my main target is going to be like I'm going to try and do scenario. You can go with that mindset, but then if that's not going to happen, like you have to have a plan B.
You got
to
have something in your toolbox in order to deal with the other things.
And Jim, you're right. Any good tournament player, no list is going to be that thing. But keep in mind, like new players, a lot of times are like, oh man, wait. Krios pop and drop, that's awesome, and they build that one list. Like, this is also a warning to, like, it's the lower, I don't mean like lower level, but whatever. It's like the newer players, the players with a lot of experience that are going to fall into that trap.
Yeah, well, I mean, Katie's Corner is for beginners, and it's a really good note for beginners is
don't
have one way to win, because if you lose that one way, you're screwed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's, don't get into overclassifying things either, though.
Well, so let me ask you this. When you are building your lists, what are you building them towards? What's behind you building your list? When you take it into a tournament, what are you trying to do?
Well, he builds lists that are just not really completely random, but I mean, he goes with completely random casters for Jim.
He has a list for each of his casters.
Right.
Well, he right now is playing like 9 different Virus 2 lists, so.
Right. I mainly focus on enabling my caster's game. So I work on what abilities they have, what am I doing to maximize those tries, and if I win through scenario or caster kill or attrition, it's not something I build my list to do. I build my list like...
Well, because a lot of the tools are going to be flexible to use in either way. Like
right.
The game I played again, let's try this sentence again. Damiano, Deadeye. If you build you have a good range unit because you can take advantage of Deadeye, that Deadeye can be used for attrition or assassination or scenario. Yep. You can clear a zone, or you can wipe out a unit, or you can kill a caster. So if you build that way to heighten the strengths, it can kind of take care of itself automatically. Like, you almost, and I guess, now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm kind of understanding Jim's point more, is that you have to try, you have to purposefully try to shoehorn yourself into only one of those three.
Yep.
Any well-rounded list that's built the other direction is going to automatically have two, if not three, of those built into it.
Yep. Well, any good list is automatically going to be good at a couple of things.
Gimmick lists will only be good at their gimmick, so
and you should never
don't
play,
build gimmick
yeah,
lists.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, my Igorshi list my list is built to his strengths, but it just turns out to be more of an attrition because that's what he's good at.
Right.
But I don't say I'm building an attrition. I say I'm going to play Igorshi, and then I just happen to build that.
The trick is to play, like, okay, so let's take Cromac for instance. One of his strengths, not his only strength, but one of his strengths is chopping the heads off of casters.
Right.
He's good at it, personally.
His weakness is getting drug into late game and having no beast left, probably.
Well, that is bad. But my point is, like, you could build a list that just focuses on that strength and does nothing but... I am going to make sure that I can clear a path for Cromac, and I can trigger all this stuff, and make sure that I can deliver Cromac to the
caster.
And then
you hit somebody that has Defender's Ward and a full camp, and he can't get there.
And then Cromac is just like, no good. So the point is, build to your strengths, but don't have just one plan. Like, yeah. You should have at least, like, yes, I admit a good pro player probably has lots and lots of plans, but for a new player, build your strengths, but don't build yourself into a corner where you only have one plan.
But easier way to say it, your list is not your strategy. So do not make your list your strategy. Build a good list and then pick a strategy at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
But even still, though, like that Chromac, you know, if you're probably going to put in like a Stalker to trigger Warpath and stuff like that, well, there you go. Hey, you have a Stalker and a Chromac list. Now you have attrition in addition to the assassination of Chromac himself. Like, it naturally comes out.
Well, and I think that tends to be a faction thing. Like, Circle in general, I think, tends to be fairly good at attrition because of things like Stalkers, things like Blood Trackers that tend to get their points and more as you go through the game.
I think they're a lot like Rhett. They're going to end the game off of attrition or caster kill while trying not to lose a scenario.
Correct. Except for E. Kruger, who's a monster in scenarios.
Sure. And, I mean, you could play E. Virus in scenario with Rhett and probably Diviner or Ron.
Ron definitely can play the scenario game, yeah.
I definitely think you should, if you're a new player, work with others who have been around. Does that help you through that tunnel vision?
Agreed.
Like, when you first build that list, not, you know, we're just building it to, whatever.
Don't be afraid to blatantly steal. Yeah. Well, don't be afraid to blatantly steal from other people, because you're not going to end up with that anyway. But what it will do is start helping you see what a balance list should look like, so that you can find one for yourself.
Ask that person how they came about that list, why they built that list that way. That'll help you understand maybe the thought process and be able to adapt to your own.
Don't be too prideful. God help you. Watch them play that list.
Yeah, that too. But like, and you don't be too prideful to not necessarily to net deck, but to do that. You know, see lists that are already made that already exist and try them out. See why they work, because you'll come up with your own offshoots.
Yeah. Like that Pythagoras theme force. I'm sure lots and lots of people have come up with it on the internet, but I stole it blatantly off Marshall.
Yeah,
like I've made 4 points of changes, and that was because the Warspear UA came out, and it's amazing. So I was like, yay, 2 UAs, out of Shredder, out of Forsaken. Done.
Well, like the flip side, I guess what I'd say the two prideful is that I actually shelved my Damiano Pirates list like forever. Like I made it like right after he came out, and I showed it to Keith because he was still a local at the time. And I said, hey, look at this list I made. He's like, yeah, I made that exact same list. I'm like, well, fuck you then. I'm not going to play it, because like, I didn't want to just play a Keith list, even though I didn't steal it from him. And turns out it's like my favorite list I have. So there's nothing wrong with either coincidentally have or number two. Like, if he had made that list first, I still should have played it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Because maybe I'd change one or two models, add my own personal touch to it, and it'd be my best list ever. Who knows?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. You can learn something from anyone, and you can, and pride is always going to be a weakness.
Yeah.
I think those are two things to take away from it.
Yep.
Because one of the things that I've struggled with is when I build a list, I build things in it that I just think are good in general, and I don't necessarily build it into a cohesive form. And so I think saying, well, okay, Kruger is really good at attrition, or not attrition, a scenario. What can I do to help him do that has helped give me focus to lists. So I don't think that you can totally disregard that either.
I actually think that's a weak base to come from for learning. I think you'd be better off learning how to find the units that do excel with him and then make them implement your strategy.
Right, but what I was saying is I don't have a start. Like, I'm just building a list because I like these particular units. There's no unifying theme behind it.
Yeah,
playing
to a strength is a valid, important thing.
Like, and so, like, I'm trying to figure out how to say you have to find what your strategy for this list is. But keep it open at the same time. You know what I mean? Because you know how to build a list. You know how to say, this caster is really good at this, and so these units help support this caster, and this is what I ultimately, some tricks that I want him to be able to do. But, like, I'm not there yet.
Right.
Something you said twice just now, and it's the opposite direction. I think this might be a key thing, is that twice you said units that support your caster, when I think it's more important to have units that your caster supports. And that, like, maybe you're thinking that's the same thing, or you're just saying it the other direction, but that's a huge difference, I think. Is you can look at the caster and say, what does the caster do? Like, you know, hey, Chromac has wild aggression, so he can throw that onto, like, a stalker and murder everything. Like, so if you look at that direction, it's a lot bigger than saying, well, here's Chromac, what do I need to add to make him better? You can start with him and look at the things that he makes better the other way out.
I understand what you're saying. Like, when you were playing your Chromac list and you had, or your Kruger list, and you had just thrown in there stuff you normally like, plus something you really didn't.
Right.
And I saw you play that game, I was like, well, that should have been a megalith. and you don't understand how to get to that.
Right.
Right.
And so, like, how what advice can we give to people to be like, this is how you get to that point, or this is the first step you should take?
You got
to
keep playing a variety of lists and just kind of see what you got to keep.
Like, well, or one of the other things we just said is steal somebody else's
and
list.
Not just
a better
list.
Player made a list that had
a
megalith.
Look at the list and figure out, like, try to think in your mind. If this is a list that made it in, like, a Masters event, for instance, there's probably a reason why everything's in that list. So try to think through, okay, so I'm looking at this list, and he has this unit or this model in there, and it just doesn't make sense to me. Why is he good with that caster? And if you think about it for a while, you can learn a lot about the strengths of your units and your models, just not even from taking the list wholesale, but, like, pieces of, oh, that's why this is good with this guy because of this interaction or whatever, as you think it through.
Yeah. Because some of the stuff's subtle. And in the age of the internet and what now, like, all these, you can ask people. Like, it doesn't even have to be. To watch a play, it has to be local. But there's no reason I can't PM Jake Van Meter and say, hey, why is a siren in, or not a siren,
the Naga or the Succubus.
The succubus. I'm like, why is the Succubus in Urias list? You know, I could just PM him and ask. And he can say it's in there because blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I mean, those were two random models. But no, the point is, like, you know, if you see, and that's why it's nice, like, the all the War Machine weekends, or not the War Machine weekend, all the Mayhem Cup top 16, Matty K, and he did this for War Machine weekend as well, he put all their lists, both their lists, all the models on his website.
I think he did it for TempoCon, too.
Probably. I think he does it for everything now. Yeah. And so you can look at every single one of those lists, and those people are on the internet. You can contact them.
Yep.
You know?
It can't hurt to try to ask. I mean, there's... Most of those guys are all really good people. They'll probably answer your questions.
And they all love talking about themselves. If you say, what makes you great, they're going to tell you, well, I'm great because I do this.
Or maybe even just seeing the list, it'll jog in your mind why it's there. Okay.
A lot of it you can't learn without putting those models on the table.
Yep.
So, I mean, what you might want to try to do is draw up several lists and try each of them out and see what worked and what didn't and move on from there.
That's a good way to start.
Because it is sometimes really subtle stuff. Like, one I was just talking about, Danny was asking about Gorton with drillers, and somebody was telling him to take, like, a rock ram also, and I don't like the rock ram with Gorton.
Right.
I like the rock ram with Durgan.
Absolutely.
And the reason is because Durgan's strength buff spell is less strength, but it also gives a free charge, and the rock ram has assault.
Yep.
And the fact that you can use Explosivo and the feat turn, so it's got a layer of synergy.
Sure. So there's the more synergy. Yeah, the Explosivo. Yeah, I mean, that's even a more really subtle one. Like, you have to really get up there is the fact that on his feat turn, you put Explosivo on its assault cannon, it gets the free additional die, so it's going to have more likely to get the crit. And you get in that more stuff. But even something as simple as it has assault. Like, you can look at a rock ram and see that it has assault and not necessarily notice why that's better with Durgan than it is with Gorton as a newer player.
Whereas with Gorton, you should almost always have two drillers instead because they're cheaper.
Yeah.
You can sacrifice one driller, and then the other one is going to come in and screw their day up. So
one of those drillers exists merely to die, because Gorton is never going to get the alpha strike. Yep. So you just put out a driller, they wreck the drill, and then you kill with the second driller.
Yeah, it's a 12-point character heavy that kills everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you would never know that until you did one of three things, which is... play it, or I guess one of two things, which is play it or see a list that has it and ask why.
Mm-hmm. Or watch why.
Right, right. Nope. Ask, watch, you know, copy the list yourself and find out why, but it's just experience.
I think asking or watching is probably a better way, because, like, if you copy a list, you probably don't know why something's in there, and so you're not using it.
Yeah, then you just get both your drillers killed. You wouldn't realize that one driller's 4 inches in front of the other driller.
And out of the way, so you can charge where there's not going to be a wreck marker and all these other things, yeah. Right. It takes a long time to get good at this game, and that's just a fact. And if you're not used to building lists, it's going to take even longer to get good at building lists.
Yep. List building is one of the hardest parts of this, you know, and it
depends on your background.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, like, for Magic players, you know, well, even still with Magic, like, that's why net decking first came, not necessarily first, but it's the big thing in Magic is that once you have the tools in your hand, like, especially, like, literally the deck, once you draw a hand of Magic cards, you can... if you're some semblance of a skilled player, it's a lot easier once you have 7 cards in your hand to see what they're going to do for each other. But figuring out what 60 cards you're putting into that stack requires way more forward thinking, because you're not even in the game. You have to figure out what gets hypothetically possibly going to happen in the game, which is why literally just taking lists off the internet is such an easier way to get to that point.
Right.
But once you've played those decks 50, 100 times, not one specific deck, but once you play the game a lot, you understand why these combos are in there, and you can start building your own decks.
And the reason I was saying that I didn't like your method is because what you'll see people do a lot in a game like Magic or even War Machine is they'll take two things that need to be together to work. Absolutely need to be together. And in a card game, you won't draw one of the two, and the other one's worthless. In War Machine, you could lose one of those two pieces, and that other piece is going to devalue so quickly. And if a smart player sees that, they're going to find a way to exploit it. So trying to build just for that, you know, scenario win by taking certain models that are only good in that situation, people are going to see that and they're going to exploit it. If you have a general good list and they see, oh, crap, it's Epic Kruger, and they're playing really hard against the scenario, and every time they play to the scenario, you're TKing and dragging something in and killing it, and they just keep losing models, you're going to win that game.
Yeah.
Because they tried to negate what they thought was your strength, but it turns out that your strength was just being strong.
Okay.
Yeah, combos are dangerous because they can get negated. Well, and that falls again under the gimmick list thing.
Yep. Yeah. And the gimmick list thing falls under I'm good at just this one thing, attrition, scenario, caster kill.
Yeah. Yeah, like yeah. Ron, like Ron's, sure, he's fantastic at, I hear a lot of people say that the scariest thing about Ron is he's an assassination caster. And I 100% disagree.
Is. He is absolutely great at it.
He's a fantastic assassination caster. But what that means is their caster plays really far back. Slash, they're really protecting their caster. And so, in fact, what usually winds up happening is he dominates them on either attrition or scenario.
Yep.
That's usually what winds up happening. Right? Like,
because he has a good list that's not only about dragging their caster.
When I get a caster kill with Ron, it's because I was... Well, either they're a newer player and they just didn't see it because they've never played with Ron, which is fine. Or I was dominating them in one of the other two ways, and so they had to put their caster forward, and then Ron just kills them.
I've gotten some pretty awesome caster kills with Ron against some pretty good players, specifically... Against Keith, I was getting his troll casters over and over and over again. He was not real happy with it, and it was just a matchup issue. Yeah. So, I mean, you can get into one of those things where your main game plan is just a matchup issue for the opponent, and you're going to crush them.
Yeah.
But you've got to be able to win your 50-50 matchups. Like, your 90-10 matchups don't even matter, really.
Right. Yeah. Either way.
Just don't screw up. Or don't pick that list, hopefully.
Right.
So this has been, like, a mom-long podcast.
Well, the first 40 minutes, we can just say, like, not real podcast, and then timestamp it from there.
No, I think the last 40 minutes.
Yeah, like, we just talked about useful stuff. What the fuck?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Brian was just reading a book.
I got bored.
That's why I doodled.
Yeah, no, I noticed.
Yeah, I saw you were doodling yourself.
I was waiting for Nathan to offend a country. Instead of recommendations, let's have Nathan offend somebody.
I could point out how everything wrong with the world geopolitically right now is the fault of the French. That's a personal favorite theory.
Are you going to back it up, or are you just...
I am going to back it up.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
So, the current like stage thing, even we can even go 9/11 specifically.
Wow.
The French caused 9/11?
Yup.
Wow. You heard it here, folks. The French caused 9/11.
Because here's why. Wow. Terrorists did that, right?
Right.
Those terrorists, so, to Al-Qaeda... Which is out of Afghanistan because of the destabilization of Afghanistan after the war there involving the Soviet Union and us supporting the Afghani rebels,
right.
Which is a result of the Cold War,
right.
Which is a result of the way that Germany was divided in the East and the West, the Democratic West and the Communist East, which is a result of World War II, which was a result of Hitler coming to power. What's the one platform Hitler ran on was repealing the Treaty of Versailles, and who's fucking to blame for the Treaty of Versailles? The French. QED. 9/11 is the fall of the French.
But the French just got, like, hammered during World War II. They were just like...
No, it's World War I that's to blame. Because at the end of World War I, when we were doing the treaty, there was a fair treaty there with repercussions. And there was, you know, not repercussions, the other one. Like, where the Germans would have to help to build it back up, yeah. Whatever.
Reparations,
thank you. And the French were like, no. We want them to literally be burning money for fuel because it's so devalued. And, like, they're going to have to resort to cannibalism. And so that's why they drew up the Treaty of Versailles.
Kind
of
like North Korea. I think the assumption in your argument in this particular case, not that French didn't screw that up, but the Cold War probably would have happened even if Germany wasn't split up.
I would agree.
Well,
I'm not sure about the exact...
but Germany split up because of World War II, and
right.
Germany
and World War II.
Wasn't in such a shit place before World War II, would that have happened?
And actually, if it weren't for World War II,
well,
it's quite possible that
there
the Cold War,
no Cold War...
There either wouldn't have been a Cold War, or in between World War I and World War II, there... Don't forget how much America and England hated each other,
yep.
Like, for most of our history.
Well,
and so it's quite possible.
There was this thing, you might have heard of it, there was a revolution.
Yes.
You may have heard of it.
That's because we won.
We did win.
If we lost, it would be called a civil war.
Right. I love the difference between a revolution and a civil war.
Who wins?
Yeah.
If you win, it's a revolution.
But for all we know, Germany could have had the first nuclear arms because
They had the smartest scientists.
They did,
right.
Sure.
Yeah.
By quite a bit. They invented jets right at the end of World War II.
There's a great song about Wernher von Braun.
Yeah. If they would have had jets like 2 years earlier, disaster.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, and they were testing those rockets at the end, shooting them into England.
If it weren't for World War II, the Cold War could have been between America and England. Like, we really could have been the two superpowers that hated each other instead of Soviet Union.
But instead, Germany bombed all of the English infrastructure to hell. Yeah.
Right. Because World War II is what pulled us out of the Depression.
It did.
We were sad.
Some will argue about the coincidence of that.
Well, okay, but let's assume that it's what got our economy started again, because it was pretty sluggish.
Sure.
Like, we may have never been a superpower again to begin with.
Which also would have meant no 9/11.
Well, it probably still would have been 9/11. It just would have been in some other country that mattered.
All I'm saying... It
would have been against England.
All probably. I'm saying is that everything...
It all boils down
Treaty of Versailles. And Treaty of Versailles is to blame.
So, those of you that were still listening to our podcast occasionally... And our French.
Oh, don't worry. Everybody hates the French.
It's
come on.
True.
It is hilarious how much the Americans hate the French, given that thank you for us winning the Revolutionary War, by the way.
Yes, like, those of you who are Americans hate the French.
That's because the
Read
French
up about the revolution
some...
sometime.
Who's this Lafayette asshole? Yeah. Whatever. So, I'm sure overrated. He didn't do anything.
So, Nathan, can you tell me what Swedish French Jeremy
no,
thinks
of this? No. See, we can't overuse. We need to retire Swedish for a little while.
No.
And bring it back.
I'm pretty sure you just beat it until it's a dead horse.
Right?
Yeah, no.
Bazinga! See, because that's a dead horse thing. I think catchphrase, nothing.
Wow.
You said it right, which has confused me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Ka-chunkle.
There you go.
Byzantium.
There you go.
I like Byzantiums. You grow them outside.
Yeah.
In the summertime.
Yeah, they're perennials.
Yeah.
That perennial is that area in between your scrotum and your butthole.
Right.
Yeah.
Butthole. Wow.
Katie's amused by the word butthole.
Katie is amused.
It's hard not to be.
Butts of holes.
Yeah.
They're funny.
Do you have recommendations?
I recommend stopping.
You always recommend stopping.
It's always the correct thing.
I think our recommendations probably were like the first 40 minutes of this podcast.
No,
I have one. Yeah, I have a recommendation too.
Yeah,
let's start over there.
All right, go.
So drop it.
Don't eat any form of olive.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Olives are delicious.
I agree with Jim on this one.
Yeah, olives are not food, people. If you're eating it, you're intentionally eating not food.
It's delicious.
Olive oil is okay.
I have green olives upstairs, and they're the saltiest things ever, and it's delicious.
Love olives.
Oh, they're disgusting. So also, never trust Brian when he says he's out of coconut chocolates.
Because one of those chocolates in the sample pack will be coconut.
Yeah, there was a
I was so mad because I got a random chocolate, and then three other people were like, oh, this one's coconut, and threw it away. And I'm like, oh, I would have eaten all of those.
I didn't throw mine away. I tried to feed mine to you like I was Mama Bird and you were Baby Bird, and you did not accept.
Katie
I did not accept.
Literally spit out hers and threw it in the trash.
Yeah. I stopped chewing mine, but I definitely tried to insert it into Nathan's mouth from my mouth,
fair,
and he
I
refused.
I sensed the coconut one. I just smashed it in coconut chocolate. Yeah. I sensed it.
You could have given it to me.
No, I threw it away.
It's it's coconut chocolate. So
detecting
good.
Coconut chocolates inside a box is kind of like playing Minesweeper.
It is.
So there's that. Coconuts, olives, stay away, people.
You know, Minesweeper basically has a true Vault Hunter mode. If you get a high score on all three of the difficulty levels, you can play a version of it where it's a Taurus, the sides wrap.
Oh.
So that, yeah. So there you go.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
True story.
Okay.
Are we going around?
And olives are delicious.
I agree. Olives are delicious.
Not food.
Olives are not delicious.
Well, what?
Every time somebody's like, no, you just had a bad olive, and I try an olive.
They're all bad olives.
What are you guys gesturing about?
I'm going to have to, like...
Brian's breaking graphite.
He's not...
He had a mechanical pencil, and he's just breaking the lead.
Yeah, he's breaking the lead. He's just...
I think everyone at this table should just be glad that
I
it's
like
not
pretending
losers.
They're heroin. Like, you do the thing, you go... Oh, that's good stuff.
You need the band around your arm.
You do need the band around your arm.
Funny story. My daughter, we did baby signs, and Cracker, you have your arm, you can't see this on the podcast, unfortunately, but you have your arm, like, with your fist up by your shoulder, and you tap on your elbow with the other fist, and that's the hand gesture for Cracker. She did it wrong, and she would slap the inside of the elbow, so she'd be doing more heroin. She'd just be in that, going, I need more heroin. And, no, that's not the sign for Cracker,
more
sweetie.
More Cracker.
Yeah.
More white people, please.
That's what I've been thinking. Yeah.
The caseworker did not like the more heroin.
And now you know why Nate's not allowed in Texas.
Yeah, among other reasons.
So, yeah, anybody else recommendation?
Yeah, I got one.
What?
I'm actually going to really go out on a limb here and recommend something that starts next week that everyone should be amazingly loving, and that is the Game of Thrones starts back up next Sunday.
That's true.
And it's amazing.
And
if you've been living under a rock for the last 2 years, it's an amazing, amazing TV show on HBO with gratuitous nudity. It's fantastic.
And violence.
And well, the violence, too, but the gratuitous nudity is pretty amazing. And it's also a book series that's amazing. But the TV show... well, a lot of people didn't know about the book series until the TV show came out 2 years
Quality-wise, what would you say about the book series?
I really like the book series. I do.
Damn it, I was trying to get you up to 7.
Oh. Wow.
My recommendation is read Game of Thrones and watch Rome.
I do like Rome a lot. Rome is great, but it's the same. Yeah, it's the same people essentially.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, you don't even have to stop watching Game of Thrones. If you like the Game of Thrones series and you didn't see it, you should check out Rome because that was amazing and it's very, very, very similar.
Season two fell apart a little bit. They ran
season one of Rome is amazing.
I will warn you that if you're like starting Game of Thrones new, at least last season, the first episode was a little bit of a. And we're gonna kind of be slow and remind you guys what happened all last season. So they may do that again. So if you're getting, if you're trying it for the first time, at least try the first and second episode. Just FYI. I will say that.
There you go.
That's my recommendation.
Katie?
I couldn't think of recommendation in time.
Okay.
Yeah, we're almost coming up on 2 hours.
Oh, you piggybacked
on
mine.
2 hours?
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'll piggyback on that one.
You said
we're
fine by time, and then we barely talked anymore afterwards.
Yeah. That was like 20 minutes ago.
Well, then we shouldn't be coming up on 2 hours. We should come up on an hour and 50.
An hour and 40, we're fine. But now
that's
we're
an hour
and
40. We should finish it up. We should not be this long.
Yeah, we should not be this long.
I have no recommendation.
I had one quick recommendation, which the Aquabats, who are a punk band, for some inexplicable reason, they have a children's show on Netflix. I'm sure it was on an actual channel, but it's on Netflix. They have Netflix. It's free to watch, and it's goddamn amazing. Like, if you like those kids' shows that are self-referential and have jokes that the adults will get in everything.
So
but
this is how you find the ladies?
Like Rocko's Modern Life.
Like a Rocko's Modern Life kind of thing. But this is a live action, so it's like those older like variety shows like Captain Kangaroo or whatever.
Or like H.R. Puff and stuff.
Yes. But it's the Aquabats and they battle monsters and they watch cartoons and it's hilarious.
Yeah, very cool.
Have you ever heard that one kid's punk song, I'm Fat and Everyone Hates Me?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. It really is.
That's Katie's recommendation, is that song.
No, it's not.
No, you should look it up. It's actually legitimately good.
All right.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks.
Hope you enjoyed whatever didn't get cut out for
time.
No, nothing got cut out for time.
Oh, come on. We never edit.
Editing?
Lance explicitly said there's no way in hell he would ever edit our podcast.
I have a coworker who used to work for a radio station. He keeps begging me to let him edit, and I said no.
Why does he want to edit?
He could edit stuff in.
Yeah.
Why does he want to edit?
I don't know, because apparently he likes editing. But literally a third of our cast has now gotten up and left the room. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed, and see you next time.